This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
It's two. And no matter what you'd like to think, we were lovers too. Boys will be boys if they are left to their own devices. Boys will be boys, but often they make sacrifices. Men will be men, will be men, will be men, afraid of being boys. We shared all our secrets round an open and wrestled with each other as we wrestled with desire. We walked along together till you ran off in fright. And me, I took a left, and you took a right.
Boys will be boys if they are left to their own devices. Boys will be boys, but often they make sacrifices. Men will be men, will be men, will be men, afraid of being boys. Too young to know some things you just outgrow, but I know what I felt for you. Different lives. I'm happy with my lover. You seem happy with your wife. We are two grown men trying to pretend that nothing ever happened, that we were only friends. Boys will be boys if they are left to their own devices. Boys will be boys, but often they make sacrifices. Men will be men, will be men, will be men, afraid of being boys. Men.
Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
I love to be queer. have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music dear to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Houston, Galveston, and the world. Welcome to live radio here at KPFT.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
My name is Chris Harrison. I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Jimmy Carper. I'm the other one. And next to me
is Wes Laverne, the other one.
No, you're the intern.
Okay, well, whatever you want to call me. I don't care anymore. Just don't call me late for dinner.
Okay.
Speaking of dinner, I had a huge dinner tonight. Oof. I went over to Barnaby's and had their meat lasagna.
Oh, yeah?
That was huge.
Mmm.
Very delicious, though.
Cool.
Not like mine, though. I have a 24-hour lasagna.
I beg your pardon?
It takes me a full day to cook it.
No kidding?
No kidding. And it's delicious.
Wow.
It's a recipe I got from my mom that I adapted my own.
So when are we having dinner?
I'm thinking about making it again next month because I made it a couple months ago.
Mm-hmm.
I made two pans of it a couple months ago and everybody loved it.
I think I've had a victim for Louie.
So how was everybody's week?
Mine was okay.
So was mine.
Okay.
I was kind of back and forth all week. I mean, you know, in my business, things are kind of crazy right now.
You, Chris?
Well, it was kind of, yeah. But, you know, it perked up there spending a couple hours in Pasadena.
I beg your pardon?
Yeah. A couple hours.
Was it perky or was it just...
Well, there was some perkiness and a lot of floppiness. I went down and saw Grease.
The production by Stage Door.
Stage Door, Inc. Yay. And
how was the show?
I remember the first act and the half of the second act.
I beg what?
I think he was distracted.
I got distracted.
By floppage?
Oh, yes.
He was replaying it over and over and over. He was like the Energizer Bunny all stuck in one's position.
I see.
But it's, you know, it's different. It's one of those things that when you're used to seeing one version and you go see a different version.
Yeah.
You know, your mind goes, wait a minute. You know, this didn't happen here. This didn't happen, you know. Things get kind of jumbled around.
Well, I'm sure the stage version is completely different than the movie.
There's some of the stuff's in a different order. There's some added songs to it. You know, like I said last week, there's a lot more of the different characters that you have in there. I was disappointed that the character who does the mooning, they only pulled down his pants. We didn't get a full mooning.
Oh, what's that about?
And I did comment it too.
Well, was he still wearing boxers?
Yeah, he had his boxers. I apparently also sewed up the front because there was nothing there. But
no button?
I was looking. I have.
Why does that not surprise me?
I'll tell you. Apparently, I do not have any mental telepathy skills because there was lots of pants that were still hanging on. but now I was talking with the actress that was performing with him, and I said, you know, I was expecting a mooning, and she goes, well, yeah, he was waving in my face there for a while, and then she goes, well, he has no butt, and he just happened to be standing next to me, but he was in a different conversation, And I leaned down, looked at his ass, looked back and go, "You're right."
Oh! Ouch!
And he didn't hear it. He didn't hear anything. She died laughing.
And he was probably wondering why y'all were laughing.
Yeah.
Huh?
But it's, like I said, it's a different type of thing when you go to see this. And it's, like I said, you're going to see a lot of different songs to it. And it's interesting seeing when you're used to the movie version and, you know, you go to location here and location here, and all of a sudden, you know, it goes a little dark and you start seeing set pieces moving in. And some of them are intricate of bringing in a lot of stuff for the setup. But it's something interesting to go see. And
well, I never saw the movie.
You never saw
the movie? The movie was good.
Well, you know, I'm...
You need to go to Blockbuster or something.
I'm like the only person in the world who hasn't seen it.
Well, we need to get Mikey to get you a copy so you can watch it.
Yeah, that's right. Mikey can do that.
Yeah, get on that, Mikey.
He's heard that before.
But now with the fact of... but it's an interesting little production to go down and see.
You enjoyed it, then.
I enjoyed it. It was a...
That troop down there is really, really good.
Yeah, and like I said, it's...
Now, this is Stage Door. They're the ones in the mall.
They're in the Pasadena Square Mall.
The ones that were here last week.
Mm-hmm. They're here last week. And if you want to go down and see Grease, because it's still Pledge Drive, we still have a pair of tickets, $50 on plastic, and you get to go see the Stage Door production of Grease.
That's right. They're sitting on my desk at home.
Ah, good place for them.
Well, I didn't want to lose.
Along with my season pass, because I can't find mine.
Oh.
I handed it to you last week.
I know. I don't know where it got.
So you had to pay for your ticket.
Well, fortunately, they seem to know me down there.
Imagine that.
but, no comment. So like I said, if you want to call in and pledge your support tonight, 713-526-5738, $50 on plastic, gets you two tickets.
That's right. In case you've forgotten because you haven't heard it in a while, this is Pledge Drive, membership drive, and we are asking for your pledge of support for After Hours and KPFT.
It's a crazy thing us live shows like to do is make sure we do Pledge Drive.
You bet. 713-526-5738, and I'm very happy to say that we already have our first pledge from Sally, long-term listener. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And two things I want to point out with Stage Door of upcoming shows.
Oh, yes.
End of March to mid-April, Sorted Lives. Mm. If you're interested in being a part of this, they have started casting now. Today they put out the announcement
for auditions?
Casting. They're doing auditions for Sorted Lives. If you want to be Brother Boy, you need to send in a shot of both male and female face.
Oh.
On that. And just added for October, the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
No! All right!
And I'm auditioning for Rocky.
But when I was looking for a song to play, I was looking for something from that.
Rocky or the Monster?
He said Rocky.
Rocky. The one who wears the gold lamé boxers?
That one. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
You're trying to process that one, aren't you? It's not working very well.
Like your hair, hope you win.
But no, that we're going to be talking more about that.
Okay.
Definitely.
Okay.
But so Stage Door Inc., you can check them out. Their website is stagedoorinc.com, I believe.
Okay.
It's probably in there somewhere.
Somewhere in there. Like I said, they're down at the Pasadena Town Square Mall.
Great group.
If they're listening, they'll probably call us and correct us.
No, I think they were tired. They were going to bed.
Okay. let's do a few things of
announcements.
Stuff in the
community.
Yes, thank you.
Well, over here, just finished it. Over here, both of us are finishing your statement for you. That's pretty sad, Jimmy.
That means we have good chemistry. That's what that means.
That's because you're still trying to process me being Rocky.
That's
okay.
That is
fine.
A hell of a mental picture.
My backup is Frankenfurter. I'm just a sweet transvestite.
No, those are coming later on the show.
I've already ordered. Instead of the fish nets, I had to get a fishing net.
Okay. I got this email from Tim Brookover.
No kidding.
Announcing that, hey, another family member is running for city council.
Yay!
Just wanted you to know that I will be filing my treasurer appointment for City Council at Large Position 4 on Thursday, January the 22nd. And that came and went. So, this is from Noel Freeman. Noel Freeman, N-O-E-L Freeman, who's running for Houston City Council at Large Position 4.
Position 4 is the reverse cowgirl, right?
I don't know what that is.
No, I think that's position 5.
Oh.
But, just remember that
name. I
think
I've got that video at home. I can check on that for you and let you know.
And since this is going to be the fourth Monday of the month coming up, that means that J.T. Doyle's Queer Music Heritage will be on Queer Voices. Queer Voices heard regularly every Monday night from 9 until 11. So you should tune in for the whole show. But if you can't, be sure to tune in at 10 o'clock to catch a whole hour of queer music by from J.D. Doyle. Then Space, let's see, you're going to do that. Theater Suburbia is still running Dryope and Aioli. That is I call it a chick drama, a play directed by Judy Reeves, a name that people know around here.
And strikes fear into lazy boy couches around the world.
Yes.
Especially Jimmy's.
It's playing through the first week in February at Theater Suburbia. You got me off track here. Theater Suburbia.
It's that difficult.
Know what it is? He's not wearing his pink shirt today.
Yeah, that's right. I'm not wearing pink tonight.
So he's all off.
I'm really off. So, Theater Suburbia. Hey, Paul.
Lend him your shirt. He's out of pink. Apparently he's trying to suck up to some emperor with his shirt.
No, what do you mean? That's not where I was tonight. So anyway, Dryope and Aioli, Theater Suburbia, go see it. And if you when you make the reservations and you tell them that you heard it on After Hours, you'll get a 2-for-1 deal. 2 tickets for the price of 1.
Excellent.
And since they're a 501c3 organization, I can tell you that the tickets are $12.
Sweet. Okay. Let's see what we got going on over here. BRB Candidate Cocktail Party, hosted by candidate for Ms. BRB, Kimberly Ann O'Neill.
That's terrific, because she was just the Empress of Orisa. So she stepped down, and now she's getting right back up there.
Yeah. So please come out and have a rootin' tootin' time with all the candidates for Mr., Ms., and Miss BRB 2009. This is taking place on Sunday, January 25th, 2009, at the Brazos River Bodium Patio from 7 p.m. until it all ends.
Bodium?
What?
I feel like you said bodium.
I think you're hearing things.
Possibly.
Wishful thinking.
Everyone is welcome to come out and enjoy a relaxing evening with friends and family. No show? What? No show, now stress. Just good old-fashioned
no
fun.
Show.
No, they're not having a show.
Yeah, I see. No show, and it says now stress. I think we had a typo here.
Yeah.
I think we're supposed to be saying no show, no stress. Just have good old-fashioned fun.
She was thinking of W at the time.
Uh-huh. Hope to see you there, Kimberly Ann O'Neill, candidate for Miss BRB 2009, Dowager Empress 24 of Aresis, Inc., Houston, Texas.
Are you very cold?
It was kind of cold out this evening before the show.
You're kind of pointy tonight.
Yeah, well, we did sit outside in Virgin for a while.
Okay. I know you have another one to read, but I just got handed a note, and I don't understand what it is. Well, so somebody's got to explain this.
The Art League of Houston had a big gala event this evening
Over
on Winter Street, mm-hmm. Artopia, and they were turning them away at the door. It was a sellout.
Oh, my goodness.
Overflow parking everywhere. And
wow.
Jam-packed food, art, dance.
And tow truck drivers galore.
Wow, that's terrific.
Sounds awesome.
Yes.
Sweet.
Okay.
Moving on.
You've got some ICOH stuff?
Yes. On Wednesday, the 28th of January, socializing with the Monarchs as they serve up cocktails returns at EJ's, upstairs in the Martini Bar at 7 p.m., with Midweek Madness show at 9 p.m. Then on Friday, January the 30th, Jim Crawford hosts the monthly camp contest, the Snow Prince and Princess Contest. Contestants will be all performers and will be judged by hidden judges during performances. And that's taking place at Tony's Corner Pocket at 817 West Dallas at 8 p.m. Fundraiser for the Rain Beneficiary, PWA Holiday Charities, and Lexi Bowen Community Fund.
Yeah, 15% always goes to the Lexi Bowen.
Yeah. And then on Saturday, January the 31st, Mark Cohen and Chanel Cartier bring you back from Africa at EJ's, 2517 Ralph Street at 8 p.m. It's a direct benefit for the AFH Camp Hope. And then I've also got here...
Hold on, let me drop this in because it's also okay. ICOH here.
All right, go for it.
ICOH and Sundance Cattle Company present Believe in Your Dreams, hosted by Mike Gradman of Sundance Cattle, Lord of the ICOH Reign, and Sundance Cattle Company president. That'll be on Friday, February 6th at George Bar, 617 Fairview. Showtime starts at 8. Proceeds benefiting the PWA Holiday Charities and Lexi Bowen Community Fund through Sundance Cattle Company and ICOH Reign 7. Show is open to all performers, and all major credit cards will be welcomed for donation.
Okay. And then we have the Gay Ole Opry, BRB style, celebrating traditional and classic country music on Friday, January the 30th, 2009, from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. at the BRB, hosted by Aaron Patterson, candidate for Mr. BRB 2009. And that's benefiting the PWA Holiday Charities.
Yeah, I know there's another candidate for Mr. BRB who hasn't sent us any information.
He already had a show.
Who was that?
Yeah, but
that was Stephen Bunch.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember us talking about it.
He had a show a couple of weeks ago.
He must have hidden it from me.
No, we announced it.
Oh.
I did, anyway.
You think I pay attention when you talk?
Obviously not.
No surprise there. I think I'm going to die from no surprise.
A Sisters is proud to announce the 4th Annual Softball Tournament on March 7th. It will take place at Memorial Park, Fields 4 and 5. Start time to be determined. Registration starts on February 2nd at asisters.org. There's a 10-team maximum capacity. For the first time, A Sisters will host a competitive tournament. This requires for players in each team to be rated C or less, according to NAG AAA player guidelines.
I hope I'm sure people who play softball know what that means.
Yeah, let's see.
Yeah, and the registration fee is like $200, but you know that's for the whole team.
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess that's why they get bars to support them. Or
yeah, teams can be composed of men and women, or all men, or all women. Registration: 2 games guaranteed in round robin single elimination tournament to the championship game.
We're announcing this now because it might take a while to get your teams together if you're interested in doing this. And evidently, there was
Chris is turning all red over here.
He really is. I don't know what that's about.
Teams are required to bring their own balls.
That might be a little tough for the women.
Oh, hell.
So, each team is required to bring 2 balls. Bring a set of balls to the Assisters softball tournament.
Well, half the people going shouldn't have a problem with that.
Okay.
Poor Chris.
Okay.
I've got more, but I don't know if I can just... Move on.
Well, why don't we...
More lesbian news. Vicky Shaw is going to be at... Chances tomorrow night. Vicky Shaw and Jeannie McNulty. 7 p.m. at Chances. Similar theme here. Miss Perfect 2009. Mm. A Wild Evening benefiting SNAP. Animal aid program helping those affected by HIV/AIDS care for their furry friends. Special appearance by Miss Perfect 2008, Vivica Simone Perry and Gaia Simone Perry at Tony's Corner Pocket, 817 West Dallas. Mm-hmm. That's on Saturday, February 7th, 7 p.m. And something that's not completely lesbian. The coming out support group starts on January 28th at the Montrose Counseling Center, I'm assuming.
Yes, it is, 401 Bernard.
And don't forget, at the softball tournament, bring your own balls.
Yes. Please do that. I
have... Nothing about the bats, though. And just bring your own balls.
Well...
I think they supply the bats.
I'm sure the bats come with the balls.
And they are detachable bats.
I... Well, maybe for the women. I have the great pleasure of sitting next to the president of the Misfits, Mr. Rene Cantu.
Actually, vice president.
Vice president. Okay, you got a changeover there?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I'm always amazed that the Misfits is kind of a small, really family-oriented type organization.
Sure.
You guys really stick together and have a good time and whatever it is you do, and put on this magnificent party each year, the Misfits Ball, and I don't know how you do it with very few people. It's just amazing to me.
Well, I honestly, I don't know how we do it either. but at the end of it, it's always a fun party, and, mm-hmm. and we know that that all the hard work that we put into it was really worth it.
You have another title in this town.
I do. I am the current Mr. Leather Houston.
Mm-hmm.
The first Mr. Leather Houston.
Yes, that's right.
And
you just you brought someone into town.
I did. I was wanting to put a fundraiser together, and mm-hmm. I was looking for something to do that's a little different, and I chose to I got the idea actually from Daddy Bob at Black Hawk,
mm-hmm.
to do kind of a sit down leather dinner, and he gave me the suggestion, and I kind of took the idea and ran with it and thought about what would make it kind of fun or kind of interesting. So I thought about who might be potentially a good speaker.
Sure.
And I had just come back from IML in Chicago, and I met briefly, mm-hmm. Mr. Chuck Renslow, who is the founder of IML, and he's still executive producer of the event.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, let me just give him a call and see if he might be interested in coming to talk to a group of us here in Houston to see if we can get our leather community in touch with what's going on an international
yeah.
level. And I simply asked, and he said, sure, I'd
wow.
be happy to.
Wow.
So he's here in town, and he is. We are having our dinner tomorrow
mm-hmm.
called Dinner in Black.
That would be Sunday evening.
That would be Sunday evening.
Yeah, we haven't been to bed yet, so for it's
oh,
still Saturday
right,
night
right.
for
so,
us.
So really, it's tonight.
It's tonight, Sunday night.
That's right. It will be at the restaurant called One's a Meal
mm-hmm.
on Westheimer.
Mm-hmm. The old Bebas.
The old
moved
Bebas.
From West Gray to,
correct.
To Westheimer, right next to the cop shop.
Correct.
Yeah. It's a really nice place.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And if we were expecting a large, large crowd, there's
mm-hmm.
a ballroom up on the second floor.
I heard about that.
Phenomenal. It's beautiful. So we're going to have probably anywhere between 40 and 50 people.
Wow,
and
nice.
And he will be making a presentation on the history of IML
mm-hmm.
and what kind of impact it's had on the leather scene on an international level.
Okay.
And he also does a history of BDSM, which I'm going to really find fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm getting excited about it.
Well, we've been talking this up for the last several weeks, or ever since I saw your ad come out.
Good.
I guess it's important. This is a fundraiser for Colt 45s, which is an organization that's close to my heart.
It is a fundraiser, yes, for the Colt 45s AIDS Trouble Fund.
Yeah, and we can talk about price because you're 501c3.
Sure.
Yeah. So, you know, it's $50.
$50 for the dinner.
But, you know, it's going to a good cause.
It is going to a good cause.
Is it possible, if somebody is listening right now, that they could come to this event?
We'll probably have a few extra seats that are going to be available.
Okay,
so yes,
that's good.
Absolutely.
Good, good. So if you're listening to this, and because I had the rare opportunity of getting to meet Chuck Renslow this evening.
Mm-hmm.
You had a small, intimate meet and greet over at Salute. And not only is he involved in the leather scene, but he's also part of, or I don't know his position there, with the Leather Archives.
I believe he is on the board.
On the board of the Leather Archives. Yeah, because he's been with that organization for a long time, I can tell.
Yeah, and I from what I understand, I believe he was also one of the founders.
Yeah.
Of the archive, which as he was explaining tonight, they've got so much stuff.
It's
a phenomenal collection of,
yeah,
stuff.
And we were talking about museum stuff, because,
right,
you know, I'm involved with GCAM,
mm-hmm,
and just the housing, the storing, the maintaining, the caring,
mm-hmm,
for it all takes effort and it takes money. And I was surprised to find out that the Leather Archives is run strictly on donations.
Absolutely.
I thought they were getting some grants or government money or something like that, but no.
I don't think they've gone to that place yet. I know there's pledges and membership drives.
That's just
donations.
Absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
Because that's like the biggest in the world, isn't it?
Yes.
All on donations.
All on donations.
What are we doing wrong at GCAM?
Exactly.
So this guy knows his stuff.
Yes.
He's been around a while. He's an older gentleman. He has so much history. He's been a part of it. He's been a fighter. He's had a fight for the rights of leathermen to be. And so if you have a chance, this is a very rare opportunity, and you should take advantage of it.
Yeah, and if you do feel that, any of your listeners out there, if you do feel that you've decided that you do want to come, if you can, send me a quick email just to give me a heads up that
yeah,
I can potentially have a good count of how many people are going to show up. My email address is Mr. Leather Houston with no vowels, MRLTHRHSTN 2008 at AOL.com.
That's MR Leather Houston without any vowels.
Correct.
Okay. At 2008 at AOL.com.
Correct.
Okay. Well, thank you for being here. Oh, is there anything going on with the Misfits?
The Misfits we are focusing on getting ready for Louis Weekend,
mm-hmm,
right now.
So everybody?
We are working on the skit that's going to go in the show of shows,
mm-hmm,
which is always fun.
Oh gosh, yes.
And of course, we will be hosting a reception,
mm-hmm,
as part of the whole Louis Weekend at the Ripcord.
When is your reception?
We are scheduled for Saturday afternoon, I believe, at 2:00.
Okay.
So that should be kind of fun.
Yes.
And we always try to make it different from whatever everybody else is doing. a little bit.
And what's your lineup on the show of shows? I know there's like 10 entries or something.
I think we're actually in the middle.
Okay.
So
that's good. That's a good place to be.
Place
you don't want to be first,
to be.
And you don't want to be last.
Exactly. Yeah, you don't want to be last because then everybody's tired.
Yeah, yeah. And
or drunk.
Or gone.
Right, or gone.
So that'll work out great.
Yeah.
Good, good. And then
we do have we have started some preliminary plans for the Misfits Ball,
mm-hmm,
which will be September. I want to say September the 7th, but it is on our website at misfitshouston.org.
Okay.
So
everybody, check that out.
Check it out.
Misfits Ball is, if you haven't been, you need to go.
It's fun.
It's a lot of fun.
We're really excited. This last year we was the highest amount that we've raised thus far.
That was absolutely amazing, and it was a perfect venue.
Yeah,
absolutely perfect.
Yeah,
I mean, just the atmosphere of the venue just worked with the ball and all the different things you had going there.
Yeah, if you don't know where we've had it, we had it at a place downtown called the Pink Monkey,
mm-hmm.
which is you go downstairs and it's a cave almost environment.
Yeah,
very kind of dark. Yeah. And
it's over by the bayou by Magnolia Ballroom.
Yeah.
It's like underneath Magnolia Ballroom.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
So it's a great place.
So we haven't confirmed that we're going to do it again there this mm-hmm. year, but we're hoping that works out for us.
That, and I'll check that date out because any organization in Houston needs to stay away from that date if they want to plan anything, because, I mean, that's just a special event that everybody goes to.
Yes, please.
Yes. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate
it. And have fun tomorrow.
Oh, one other thing I want to mention. In 2 weeks, with my title currently as Mr. Leather Houston, I am traveling to Dallas.
Oh.
To compete for Mr. Texas Leather.
Oh, no kidding.
No kidding. So if anyone out there is going to be in the Dallas area and can come by either Friday or Saturday.
Where's it going to be held?
At the Dallas Eagle.
Mm-hmm.
It will be, I believe, at 10 o'clock both nights,
mm-hmm.
or starting at 10 o'clock. The Friday night part is basically a meet and greet.
Mm-hmm.
The main part of the contest is on Saturday.
Yeah.
But if it's always good to have a cheering section.
You bet.
Judges respond really well to a cheering section. So, and if I win there, then I will compete at IML.
Wow.
So.
Good luck, Renee.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Okay. Chris. No, it's not Chris.
No, it's Hello. Wes.
Hey, Wes.
Yeah, you pulled the CD out that I wanted to play as closing music.
Oh, okay. What do you mean I pulled it out?
Well, for some reason Virgo is gone.
Oh. Oh, I pulled Virgo?
Apparently.
Okay.
Shame on you.
I only bring in about 300 CDs a week, but, you know, you get new ones and you have to...
No, I said Virgo, not Virgin. Get your fat ass out of here.
Wow.
And yes, I can call someone a fat ass.
Okay.
You have room to talk.
And you've got a pledge.
Yes, we got another pledge.
No kidding.
We moved a little closer to our goal.
Fantastic.
Our good friend Paul in there has given us a little donation tonight.
Thank you, Paul.
So we need a little bit more to go for the night.
Paul comes through every pledge drive, every single pledge drive for I don't know how many years.
He's done it once again. So
he's amazing.
Thank you, Paul. Wherever you went to, if you're
okay,
if you're not,
he's around here.
Hiding somewhere.
Anyway.
But anyway.
Hey. Oh, you were behind me.
Photographers have got Jimmy's not too familiar with having people behind him.
They're usually in front of him. But at any rate.
Yeah, they are. Do you have some music?
Yes, we do. So let's go on to a nice little piece here
that
we've decided to play.
Push the button, Mary.
Hey, Janet.
Yes,
Pat. Wow. I've got something to say.
Thank you so much. Uh-huh. Thank you for hanging out.
I really love the
being patient.
Absolutely.
Skillful way.
Thanks again for having me.
You bet.
You beat the other girls
yes.
to the bride's bouquet.
Oh.
Okay.
You bet.
The river was deep, but I swam it.
Janet.
The future is ours, so let's plan it.
Janet.
So please, don't tell me to can it.
Janet.
I've one thing to say, and that's damn it, Janet, I love you.
Okay.
The road was long, but I ran it.
Janet.
There's a fire in my heart, and you fan it.
Janet.
If there's one fool for you, then I am it.
Janet.
I've one thing to say, and that's damn it, Janet, I love you.
Here's a ring to prove that I'm no joker.
Oh, J-A-N-E-T, I love you so.
eyes and panic. Now I've one thing to say, and that's, damn it, Janet, I love you. Damn it, Janet.
From different types of Rocky Horror. It's one of those things, you mention Rocky Horror, and you
everybody's got to play
it. You got to play it, you know.
So we had Damn It, Janet, and then Touch It, Touch It, Touch Me.
And that was from the versions you're not used to hearing, because that's the original, is it the original stage version?
That was the original stage on Damn It, Janet, and then the punk version of Touch It, Touch It, Touch Me.
So
I got to say that five times real fast.
I get the punk version over to Dario with them doing that. You're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude. We are still in our pledge drive, and even though we've done fairly well so far, we're over 50%.
For the night,
but, you know, we still got to make up for last week.
So, let's get some pledges in there, people.
So, 713-526-5738, 713-JAM-KPFT. Remember, we also have the $50 on plastic. You get two tickets to Stage Door Inc.'s production of Grease.
And see all those cute people out there.
Yes. That's going on through February 1st down at the Pasadena Town Square. Make sure when you go in there with those, tell them you heard about it on us. Let them know that they've got a reason to schlep up here from Pasadena.
That was very hick.
Yeah, it was. How should get down, Dana. You can find more, like, there are different productions. And, like, they're doing some different things with their stuff. With, you know, Grease, Rizzo is African-American. The Teen Angel is also African-American.
Mm-hmm.
Danny is Hispanic with a lot of floppage.
Floppage?
And that's what you were playing over and over and over in your head.
Yay for the floppage.
Yeah. From the Man in Blue.
For some reason, he didn't say hi to me. I guess the drooling.
After last week, he got a little leery.
Oh, he should have been leery.
He was sure blushing a lot.
Well, you're able to detect a blush on a Hispanic guy. When those darker skin tones get a little darker, you know.
Have we been pledging, or have we been...
Well, we haven't been pledging, we've been pitching.
Pitching.
Yeah, we pitched.
I don't know how the hell you're getting me to pitch, you know, I'm not that versatile.
I thought you were... Yeah, I was going to say, I thought you were the catcher. So.
You've been the X2... Oh.
Did you get his X2 account again?
Chris is the big catcher, yeah.
Hey, 16,000 people can't be wrong.
Hey. Anyway, 713-526-5738. Join Sally and Paul and be a sponsor for After Hours.
If you don't want to call in your pledge of support, you can go to kpft.org and click on the Donate Now link and do that safely and securely. It'll only take 30 seconds. You can do that while your porn is downloading.
Ooh.
Yeah. I know even with a good connection, it takes a little while for that to come down.
Yeah.
So
sometimes.
When you reach into your pocket, grab your wallet first and make that pledge of support. Then
who carries their wallet in their front pocket?
I've known some people to do it.
Jimmy?
One of my roommates.
Oh. Chris does.
I know.
I got too much junk in the trunk to put it in my back pocket.
Too far to reach back?
Yeah, the pocket, that's where the extra ass goes.
I've seen junk in your trunk before.
Who's junk?
We're not going to go there.
Oh, enough about Louie. Sorry to keep getting... Damn, my knees are really starting to hurt. No. Like I said, I'm following the... I'm using two different commercials right now to get ready for Louie.
Yeah.
One's the thing they show all the old people where you take this medicine and it helps your knees get stronger. Mm-hmm. And if that doesn't work, I'm getting the Enzyte so I can be like Bob and I won't have to worry about kneeling then.
To just smile all the time.
Oh,
finally, there'll be a chubby Santa with a chubby Santa. Oh, my God. You lied to me. You said she wasn't coming here.
Speak of the couch and see who shows up.
I did not
I
expect.
Food. I was being nice.
That's right.
What kind of food?
GCAM threw a cast party for Theater Suburbia because they did a fundraiser for us. And Judy brought over.
As soon as she said brought food, look who's running
out to the room.
Yeah,
I'm innocent. Look my show guest runs out. Your Juggernaut from the X-Men going through walls.
And if that's innocent, I'm the Pope.
You ain't been innocent since you did dunks. I ain't gonna even say.
Anyway, we have food in the lobby, folks.
Not even sweet food. It's real food.
Real food.
Yay.
Yeah.
I guess I'll go check that out of here.
Real food.
Enjoy.
Something besides day-old donuts?
Well, I know. I looked at that donut once and I got nauseous.
Judy brought the meat.
Somebody had to do it in this place.
Hey.
I've been handling meat all night.
Oh, wow.
That's kind of out of character.
How come the lesbian gets to do that?
Well, we can get meat.
She took 8 inches of Ike in her.
And so Jimmy's jealous.
So all Jimmy can do is go home and stroke Judy's pussy.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I haven't seen her all day.
Well, you know, the lesbians always bring the meat because, like, we can, you know, choose what kind we want.
I watched the vagina monologues. I know it's a hand mirror.
It must be time for the transgender segment.
Oh, yeah, we're talking about women bringing meats, and it's the segue right into the TG show. Thanks a lot. Okay, as Jimmy just said, this is Melanie, and Melissa is out of town. She won't be here tonight. We have Christine and...
filling in for Melissa.
And we had another person here, but apparently food caused them to, like, make some kind of mad exodus out the door. Jimmy's shrugging there. But I guess we'll play Ask the Tranny later after we, you know, they get all their food on. But anyway, well, it's the fourth Saturday of the month. Time for the transgender show. And
what are we going to talk about, Melanie?
We're going to talk about whatever we want to talk about because, as usual, I'm totally unprepared since Melissa's out of town. I've got a couple of things. Just want to, right off the bat, go over a list of the different groups and organizations that are in town for the transgenders that are listening out there that may not be aware of these. One of the things they have group called the Transgender Foundation of America has the, I believe it is the first or one of the biggest transgender community centers.
The one and only TG Center.
Yeah, you know much more about that than me. On the planet over here at 713 Fargo in Montrose. And they've got a lot of different programs going on over there. One of the ones I've been to is HTGA, which is Helping Transgender Anonymous. They have that every Monday from 7 to 9 p.m. And this group, it's one of the oldest ones in Houston. It was started back in 1990. And it's a facilitated support group for all transgenders, their supporters, family, and significant others. And it's a really good group if you're working over transgender issues, have some questions. If you have a friend that's transgendered and you're not really sure how to, you know, deal with it or, you know, want to understand more, this is a good meeting to go to. They also host the STAG group, which stands for Some Transgenders Are Guys. It's, as they say, one of the most dynamic FDM groups in the country. It's also a facilitated bi-monthly group for the female-to-male identified individuals, their supporters, family, significant others. That one meets the second Tuesday of the month, and again on the fourth Saturday of the month, which it was today. The second Tuesday one is also 7 to 9 p.m. The Saturday one on the fourth Saturday is from 5 to 6 p.m. They have also that, you know, there on the same day is the Texas Association for Transsexual Support. That one is for FDMs and MDFs, for, you know, female to male and male to female transsexuals. And as I said, you know, TATS, or Texas Association for Transsexual Support, let me actually try to pronounce that. That's a professionally facilitated support group. They actually have a therapist running that. And it's meets on the fourth Saturday from 4 to 5 p.m.
Right before STAG.
Yeah, right before the STAG meeting. So the guys actually can get kind of a double dose because the TATS meeting's open to anyone that identifies as transsexual. And then they have the STAG group specifically to address the F2M issues. And in addition to all, you know, like all these here are going on at the thing, then they also have, for those that are not identifying as transsexual or gay, there is a group called the Society for the Second Self, and they have their local Tau Chi chapter here in Houston. And the contact information for that, if you are listening and you are identified as a heterosexual crossdresser, you can write them for information at P.O. Box 980638 in Houston, Texas, at 77098.
And but who writes letters anymore? Do they have a website?
They actually do. Their website is www.tau-chi.org, and you can also email, and the email is jeftris, I guess that's Jeff Triss, or J-E-T-R-I-S, at AOL.com. That's jeftris at AOL.com. And that's kind of a rundown of the a lot of the local meetings. There are a lot of other special interest groups that they have. As I said, that, you know, the Transgender Foundation of America, their website is tgctr.org, and you know, they oversee the Transgender Center and a lot of the programs. They have a lot of specific ones, like handle specific like religious issues. They have a Buddhist meditation group, and
they also have a Christian group.
They have a meeting specifically for just significant others of transgender people, and lots of other programs. So you can check out that website, and again, that is tgctr.org. and Christine here is a volunteer at the center. Is there anything else that we could mention about that? And you said that they're planning on starting up a couple of new programs.
Yeah, Kristen's been working on trying to start up a couple of new programs there at the center. one of the ones that they're working on. It's in development. It's not actually going yet, but they're working on an employment program for transgender people. Since that's one of the big issues that transgender people face is difficulty getting a job because of discrimination, or a lot of times even after you've finished transition, you've been without a job for so long that, you know, you have this gap in your employment history, and it makes it more difficult to get a new job.
Yeah, so if you have, say you've, even if you had a really good career, you might have, you know, taken off like a couple of years to go through your transition and everything, and all that, and then, you know, you have this 2-year gap in your resume, and or you may choose to just leave off the prior, you know, career as the your previous gender, and it makes it really difficult without really having much of a job history, you know, to come in and, you know, get any sort of decent job.
Right, because it can be a bit awkward to put those old references in there, and they say who.
Yeah, you call up and they're, you know, your name's, you know, Jennifer, and, you know, but if they call your old references, you know, they don't recognize a Jennifer. They just know Bob worked there.
Or Jeff.
Bob or Jeff or whoever. And, yeah, that's really good. Speaking of jobs, I had just got an email yesterday, I believe, that Kristen had sent out. Regarding something she had got off the website regarding Obama's, well, I guess the inauguration, so he's President Obama now. Part of their standpoints on their different issues, and one of them was regarding ENDA, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act. And according to what I read, they're trying to push for a united ENDA to include protections for gender identity. And as I said before, I'm kind of holding out to kind of see how everything works out. But if that does get pushed through, that would be monumental.
That's what I'd heard, too. I heard that even Barney Frank, who was one of the people that was behind the non-unified that would have provided employment non-discrimination to people of non-heterosexual orientation, but not to people who express their gender differently. Even Barney Frank is behind a United ENDA this time around, and he's actually appointed the first TG staffer in Congress who's working with him. His name is Diego Sanchez, a female-to-male transsexual.
Fantastic.
So that's all very positive.
So things are looking up. The future's bright.
I heard that in Indonesia, they're actually trying to pass a bill that would reserve 14 out of every 100 jobs for transgender people there, because they have such a huge transgender population.
That's in Indonesia?
In Indonesia.
Yeah. That's amazing.
What do you think about that? What do you think about, because that's kind of like affirmative action.
Yeah, almost, yeah. Yeah, really couldn't, you look like you're just ready to bust out giggling over that. But, yeah, it is a lot like, some affirmative action there isn't. What are you
just dropping the political hot potato in your lap?
Yeah, just, you know. Well, I don't, you know, I really don't know how the political situation is in Indonesia, so I'm not, you know, really good. I really wish we had Ellie in here, because she is just the political powerhouse.
I do,
on
too.
Top of everything. I tried calling her. I guess she figured, well, since Melissa was out of town, she was going to go, you know, I don't know, probably play Left 4 Dead all night or something like that, or just sleep for once. But, yeah, because she's really got a, you know, really on tap with all the political issues and everything like that. Kind of changing gears from political to the social thing. But, well, I am just amusing the heck out of you. Christina's hair just looked like she's about ready to fall out of the chair laughing at me. But as we guess on the on here on After Hours before, Vanity Wild is pretty famous in the community for throwing these really cool parties and that benefit her Diamond of Hope Foundation. And the next one they have coming up She's called Bridezilla. And this one's going to be on the, Saturday, February the 28th. And I've got like a really long description here I yanked off the internet. I'm going to try to summarize. Basically, it's going to be a sort of bride or wedding-themed costume party where, you know, the girls can show up in the wedding dresses and such, and, you know, guys in the tuxedos, even some people.
Or vice versa.
And vice versa. And, you know, maybe even some people dressing as, you know, wedding officials or, you know, flower girls or, you know, the best man or...
Or that drunk uncle that just doesn't know when to shut up.
You've seen my costume. But, yeah, they're going to have... let's see if I can summarize this here. They're talking about... it's basically a wedding reception-themed party where all the girls will be the bride and experience what it's like to have their own reception, complete with white calla lilies, buttercream frosted cake, crisp white linens, and a wedding photographer, wedding music, and all those silly wedding dances like the Macarena, Cotton Eye Joe, and the Bunny Hop. That's going to be cool. It says, with all, you know, this is just a little thing here. Said, you know, with all that, they just had, she just had to name it Bridezilla. But, that is going to be, as I said, the February the 28th, at, let's see, starting at 9 at the Chateau at Midtown over at 1220 Taft. And, let's see what she's got here. The, tickets are $10 available, at her shop, Vanity Transformations at 1442 Yale. Or you can, says, you can PayPal tickets, on sale on her, the website. I think, her website is diamondtgirls.com. I believe that was the one that I got this off that you could, order there. Or if you, show up at the door, the tickets are $15. And says they're, you know, the wedding attire is encouraged. Comes a bridegroom, maid of honor, best man, bridesmaids, groomsmen, all that. And you can also call Vanity's shop at 832-767-3252 for more information. And but you can pretty much, if you can get online at diamondtgirls.com, they should have information on there.
I need to step in and let everyone know you're sure. Listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. We are still on our pledge drive, 713-526-5738, 713-JAM-KPFT. Or you can go to kpft.org and place that pledge of support safely and securely. Don't make us beg. We will. We'll beg if we have to.
Please.
Well, thanks for that, Chris. I was too busy squinting at my my notes that I printed out in like 8-point font, which really don't work real well when I lost my glasses 3 months ago. But I didn't see the clock. I was too busy squinting at my pages here.
I love the button on my computer screen that takes it up to 150%. Makes it so much easier.
Well, it looked fine on the screen, but once I actually got it on paper and got it in the studio here.
Copy, paste, drop it into Microsoft Word.
Oh, that's where it came, Microsoft Word. But, you know, when you have it zoomed in on the thing, when it actually comes out on paper, it's a little hard to read. I don't know. I don't think you've ever went to any of Vanity's parties, have you, Chris?
No, I haven't. I think Jimmy did.
Yeah, Jimmy around there.
He's sucking a fag.
Oh, again? Yeah. Oh, that's okay. I was doing that earlier.
Yeah, he has that oral fixation.
I just wanted to smoke. But anyway, let's see. Well, Christine, what's your experience with Vanity's parties?
My experience with Vanity's parties? Well, she does throw some amazing parties. I haven't actually been to one in a couple of years. Vanity's parties. Thumbs up.
Yeah, because they, you know, she has these things to benefit. She's got a group called the Diamond of Hope Foundation that, you know, goes towards, I was hoping to get Vanity on tonight, but, you know, this is kind of late. She usually turns into a pumpkin around midnight or something, and, you know, then, you know, she cuddles with Pumpkin all night. But, anyway, so I really can't speak officially for, exactly the mission statement of her Diamond and Foot Foundation, but it basically helps trenders out if they're in a jam, if they're having a little problem, like, you know, maybe, you know, had some financial problems, you know, behind on the bills or something like that, or, you know, whatever, somebody steals their, you know, their wallet and, you know, they need to get help, you know, help. There's been, you know, I think some help with employment and other such things like that. And, you know, it's really, you know, good organization. Do you have anything, you know, hot on your topic list you want to talk about, Christine? Anything grinding your gears? If we can steal that from Family Guy.
Well, did you get to see the inauguration?
I woke up at 6 o'clock that morning and got so worn out with the coverage because I never knew what time the actual inauguration was supposed to be. I kept watching and waiting for it that by the time it came on, I gave up and was playing World of Warcraft.
Oh, no.
But I caught part of it later on the internet. I was over at Melissa's and we were watching part of it, and but I didn't sit through the entire thing. What was your take on it? Did you watch the thing?
Well, yeah, actually I did. I tuned in right about the time that Obama was cruising up in the limousine to the White House, and Michelle Obama, his wife, had a gift for Laura Bush, which was quite apropos. It was a journal and a pen to start writing down the next part of her life out of the White House. Thank God. So I saw just about the whole thing. I think my favorite part actually was Bush flying away in the helicopter.
Oh, yeah.
Never to come back again.
Well, that sounds like a good one to me. Yeah, I wonder, you know, a lot of times after the presidents get out, they always have a memorial library somewhere. I don't know if they've ever come up with a place for the George Bush Memorial Library. Was it like a...
SMU in Dallas.
Oh, is it SMU? I figured it would maybe be like, you know, a couple of porn mags in an outhouse somewhere or something like that, but...
No, unfortunately, they, for some reason it went there because I guess his other schools didn't... Well, I mean, he went to Harvard, and they've got the JFK Library, so, and that was probably the closest one to where part of the state he was from and where he's now moving to in Dallas.
Oh, yeah.
The fun thing I had with that was when he flew first to, left Washington, flew to Midland, to his hometown, and then he flew to the what used to be the Western White House in Crawford. And I get a kick out of that because he had to, when he flew to Waco to go to Crawford, he had to land at my college. Because the airport in Waco isn't big enough to handle that plane, but the college campus is.
Oh, what, did he land on the football field or something?
No, it's an old Air Force base.
Oh, okay.
So okay. It's... it happened before while I was in school there. His father came to Waco for a fundraiser or something, and so they landed Air Force One at the school, and all the Secret Service were out there along the route to leave the school campus. So it was weird seeing, you know, hearing all the stuff of them going back to the wonderful school I spent 2.5 years at for a 2-year school. They had to bring him back in there, but. Yeah, I didn't get to see the inauguration because I was working, but it was one of those things that apparently was on every station. Because my dad was, you know, my dad called up and complained later on. He says it was on every, even A&E was covering it.
A&E?
Yeah.
That's amazing. I wonder if it's on ESPN or something.
Ah.
That would probably be a stretch there, but I think most of that's, you know, that stuff's pre-programmed for like a month ahead of time, just about.
Well, you know, that's they probably broke in every once in a while to show you. Yeah. Find some sort of sports analogy on there.
Yeah, it's like, you know, the...
Yeah. Now that he's taken the oath of office, the renovators are moving in and removing the bowling alley out of the White House and putting in the NBA-approved basketball court.
Yeah, I could see something like that.
Well, they actually are doing it.
Yeah. They're putting in a basketball court?
Yeah. And the...
Well, that's...
Professional Bowlers Association is upset and saddened to see the bowling alley that's been in the White House for decades is going to be removed to put in a... basketball court, and the NBA said, we'll be glad to help him put something in there.
Oh, that's interesting. So we'll see him out there dunking some baskets or whatever.
Oh, it's going to be inside, so you know, the paparazzi won't be able to get the pictures of it.
Oh,
or maybe dunking some bowling balls.
That'd build up some muscles there. that would wreck the floor for sure. I don't know how you would dribble those things down the court. You'd have to be the freaking Incredible Hulk or something to sling one of those things around.
With steel-toed boots.
Yeah, I know. I wouldn't want to have to catch that thing if somebody passed it to me. But, anyway. Well, speaking of, if we can take a little sharp right turn there. Yeah, you know, speaking about, you know, talking about watching the thing on the internet. I just had a couple of things I wanted to mention. YouTube is, you know, one of my favorite diversions when I, like, have nothing to do and I don't feel like leveling my paladin in World of Warcraft anymore. There's a couple of notable transgenders that I... they have web blogs on YouTube, and I enjoy watching them, and some of them are pretty educational. I think for those out there that, you know, want to know more about, transsexuals in specific and sort of hear stories in their own words. There's a couple. One of them is, the username is Grishno, Grishno. And I caught one of her videos where she was talking about, she was actually videotaping in the car on her way to go get an orchiectomy, which is the technical term for castration. And, she was talking about that, and she has some other videos afterwards, and just talking about general things, relationships, and other viewpoints. You know, she's pretty well spoken on that. Another one that I really enjoy, I've actually, subscribed to her blog and actually talked with her through Instant Messengers, is this girl named Charlotte, who goes by Karmatic 1110. It's Karmatic 1110. And she has got some really good... she has sort of a little TG education series that she did, talking about different subjects, about how to develop your voice and things like that, and just blogging about her life and experiences. She had just went to a transgender conference out in the East Coast somewhere. I'm not sure exactly where it is. And it was called First Event or something. It was the name of it. Or maybe it was just the first event that they had there. I don't know. That was the title of her blog episode. But she was talking about her experiences with that. And also she was talking about it, sort of a bad experience she had afterwards. Because she, you know, like me, identifies as a lesbian, and she got invited to go to sort of a lesbian house party afterwards, but she encountered some people there who really, you know, were sort of rude, didn't accept her, you know, were kind of, you know, doing the pointing and snickering to each other sort of thing, and it really sort of hurt her feelings, and you know, by these people just really being kind of rude and mean.
Well, that's always a positive experience.
Oh, yeah. It's like always, that. Yeah, everybody loves to, you know, have people, you know, be mean to them and all that. And she was kind of, you know, kind of my heart sort of went out to her because she was kind of down, like, you know, I'm doing all this so I can be accepted in, you know, by women, you know, and in society and everything, and you know, if I'm not going to be accepted, kind of like, you know, what's the whole point of this? You know, I mean, you know, it's like, you know, what a big disappointing time it was. And, you know, it was really kind of touching. You know, she's, you know, basically bearing her soul out there. But for those that really want to sort of, you know, not quite a day-to-day outlook, but you can go back, because she's got a lot of videos on there over the past, like, couple of years, I think. And you can sort of see how, almost watch her transition. You know, she goes from a point where she's, you know, doing her, you know, video blog, wearing a wig and everything, until her, you know, hair gets long enough, and, you know, she's got sort of a bandana thing going on now, which is sort of like a little trademark for her now, which is really neat, and I think she looks really cute.
And what's her username again?
It's the username's Karmatic with a K, Karmatic 1110, and that's a really good YouTube blog to check out. I really, you know, I've recommended it to a few people that have been asking about, well, what do you think about this, that, you know, where can I learn about this, and I just point them towards her blog. And you know, if she's listening through the web on kpft.org, you can listen live, or you can go back and listen to previous After Hours shows through the archives there. But I wanted to give a little shout out to Charlotte and say, hey, you know, plug in your videos. So you probably get you know, if every listener to the show here, you know, she might get an extra 5 hits on her website or something.
A whole five. I thought four.
Well, I figured there's maybe at least like 2 or 3 listeners or something, you know. But that's one of the things with this show. It's like I never know if I've got like a crowd of like 100,000 out there in town listening to me, or if there's like just 3 like half drunk guys that just happen to, you know, tune into this thinking they were going to listen to Zydeco or something.
Or us talk about penis.
Oh, yeah. Or, you know, all these people talk, you know, sitting around waiting for us to talk about penises and all that.
Because I know I have one.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know about y'all, too, but I know I do.
Well, you'll never find out.
So let's find out just how many listeners we do have. The ninth caller at 713-526-KPFT. That's 713-526-5738 will win a $100 gift card to Marbella's Bar and Salon.
Wow.
Once again, that number is 713-526-5738.
You're actually holding that
card? I'm actually holding the gift card in my hand. Ninth caller.
Yeah.
Can we get 9 calls? I know it's a stretch, but you're all driving back from the bar right now. You've got your cell phones.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Chris, do you want to get on there? Because this is kind of unexpected to me, too. Can we even do that? I think Chris is...
Let's go to music right now.
All right.
We'll be right back.
Castle was a stunning vision. Painted eyes with such precision, longer legs than any girl I know. Fishing down the old Kent Road with her hips on overload, making sure the loneliness don't show. She was never he. All as long as I remember, she was never of her gender categorically. She was never he. Though the boys at school were cruel, you would have to be a fool not to see that she was never. Jody, she was Kelsey, to fool the boys to such a freak, deep inside a heart that fell aflame. What if he should realize, break a heart or black her eyes, these things are so important for a girl to know. She was never he. All as long as I remember, she was never of her gender categorically. She was never he. Though this world can be so cruel, you would have to be a fool not to see
moment soon. You no longer exist. It's a kick in the eye. It's the final twist of the surgeon's knife. Welcome to my glamorous life. Oh, the big dark man. Will he turn a blind eye? Love me for who I am. Turn me out and make me cry. She was never he. All as long as I remember, she was never of her gender categorically. She was never he. Oh, this world can be so cruel, you would have to be a fool not to see. She was never he. All as long as I remember, she was never of her gender categorically. Oh, this world can be so cruel, you would have to be a fool not to see that she was never.
That was Boy Georgia, She Was Never He. To the callers calling in, the contest that was just announced is not happening. So I'm sorry for those of you calling in. And at this time, we will not be doing that. So if you want to call in your pledge of support, that's great. If not, unfortunately, like I said, we are not doing that giveaway.
Okay, we live again? Okay. Yeah, I've got to apologize to everyone. Yeah, Christine's enthusiastic, but is not really a normal staffer here or anything like that. She's just a guest of the show, and she was she had honest intentions. She had a thing there, but wasn't aware of all the procedures and everything that they have as far as the giveaways and all that, and. She's just trying to, trying to see if there's anybody actually out there listening. But I guess they got a couple of callers. But
sorry, folks, I wanted to do it, but they won't let me.
So we got to apologize for everybody about that. I know that they do have some really good promos and such for set up for the pledges and all that, which they'll explain to you later when they get back to announcing all the. Pledge drive levels and everything, because I don't have any of that information in here in the studio. If we can get, let's see, I am running low on my notes here. One thing I did want to talk about as far as the internet stuff, as I mentioned before, there's Vanity Wilds. Social website she has is diamondtgirls.com, and that's a good one. Whether you're if you're in around town or looking for information, social website, whether you're cross-dresser, transsexual, whatever, that's a good one. Also, they have another one here in town, which is ran by the same people that ran the TG Center. It's more of a social networking site. It's transhouston.com. It's a really easy one to remember. And I guess we can switch gears. If we could get our buddy that was in here a minute ago back in the studio, I don't know if he's out there getting his food on or not, but if we were going to have a little bit of a social question and answer session from the peanut gallery out there, but I don't know, he might have went out to get some fresh air or something. But, well, other than that, I'm not sure... what we got lined up next. Are they still doing the little round table things, Chris?
Yeah, later on we'll be getting on to that. I'm
going
to be going through stories here in a little bit to start gathering for it.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a good deal. So,
yeah, I mean, That's going to be coming up later, like I said.
So I'm kind of, like I said, I kind of ran to the end of my notes, and I don't really have a whole lot really hot on the wire left. Do you have anything you've heard, like, transgender-related lately, Chris?
No, not really. That's why I'm going to be searching on the sites even for just general news to cover. So I've been kind of out of it this past week, so I didn't haven't been paying much attention to the wires.
Yeah, I caught about the only thing I've even said. I've been working on other non-TG related hobbies and such lately. Playing my video games and messing with my motorcycle and other things like that. One thing I did catch, I'd heard about, I only caught part of it, was that movie, something like Juana Man.
Yeah.
That I caught, like, part of that on TV the other day. That's about the most, transgendered media that I've seen. That was the one where it's like a...
NBA star gets suspended.
Yeah, the NBA star gets suspended for doing something stupid. I didn't catch that part. I came in right afterwards. And he decides to, it's sort of the sports version of Tootsie. It's like, they couldn't assign him to any, like, NBA teams. So he decides to cross-dress and get signed on a WNBA team. And I thought that was, like, yet another in the endless lines of the guy that can't make it and, decides to cross-dress and becomes really successful, as a woman kind of concept. They've had that retreaded.
It's,
like,
been played a couple times.
Yeah.
Well, there's a transgender character on the newest edition of The Real World.
Oh, really? I haven't... I never really watch a lot of the reality television. I think the only one of those shows I ever really did follow was the Stan Lee's Who Wants to Be a Superhero.
Uh-huh.
And, I watched... I didn't even get to see the second season of that. I watched the first season religiously. But I'm such a comic book and Marvel Comics fan, that... I just, couldn't stay away from that. But I know they've had a few transgender people on some of these other shows, like the Tyra Banks. Like, I don't think it's the Next Top Model, or is it the? It's one of those, like, modeling competition shows.
Uh-huh.
And stuff. And they actually had a transgender model on there. And they actually discovered her from a previous season. They had her as an extra on a set. She was actually living, like, in a homeless shelter or something like that. And they got some of these extras to just come in and, like, for background in one of the modeling shoots. And they were like, who is this person? She's great. And they got her as a contestant, and they found out that she was trans. And that wasn't told to any of the judges for a while, and they were going through and watching her shoots and everything, and they're like, everybody's okay, but this one girl, she's really got it. She really wants to be a model. She's got all the poses, all this other stuff, and I don't think she was the finalist, but
yeah.
She went, like, a lot farther than other people did, even after it was disclosed that she was trans, because just...
She had
the look. She had, she had the look. She had the moves. Everything, and she did actually pretty well. As a normal rule, I don't really, I'm not really a big fan of the models and the fashion and all that stuff. And but I actually watched a few of those episodes with a roommate who was into it, and it was pretty interesting.
Well, next month, and RuPaul's coming out with RuPaul's Drag Race.
Really?
Yes, it's on Logo. And basically, it's America's next top drag queen.
Well, that sounds interesting.
Yeah, the interesting part is watching the commercials promoting it. It's twisted. They were calling it, this is National Drag Month, and they've got a drag queen. They're talking about, those who came before us and all that and suffered. And she picks up a roll of duct tape.
Okay.
For the tuck and cover.
Yeah. Which actually, in regular beauty queen competitions, I've actually seen some scenes of them preparing, and duct tape is used quite a bit, to add a little bit extra cleavage, too.
But, so that's coming out So the logo, second kind of trans reality show. They had a bachelorette version with Calpurnia Adams.
Oh yeah, I heard about that.
Trans
I never
American
got
Love Story. Was that was it was
something
called?
Like that.
Yeah, I you know, I'm like the most like unhooked person. It's like, you know, just because it's trans or GLBT related, I you know, with me it's like I never have any like, you know, any extra desire to even tune into the stuff unless I just happen to see it.
About the only reality show that I've gotten hooked into was Solitary. And a new season just started, and I haven't started watching it yet. Just started last weekend.
What did they do on that? Is it they lock you in a cage and
in a way, yes.
Put you in the oubliette or something?
It's 9 contestants. They're all in a solitary confinement little housing unit. And they have to go through different mental and physical challenges. And during this time, they are basically... They're, you know, they not allowed a lot of sleep. There's a lot of sleep deprivation. They don't really eat that well. You know, they have a energy protein bar that they make for them to get the calories they need to function.
But no pizza.
Well, sometimes it depends on, you know, on season 2 when they had it, they did have pizza the one day, but. If you win certain challenges, you get your favorite meal.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, they asked everyone what's your favorite, you know, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And so the person wins one challenge, and they got their favorite meal. Well, then what everyone else got was what they called a progressive smoothie.
Progressive smoothie?
Mm-hmm. So somebody said, you know, for breakfast, they like strawberries. So they put some strawberries in a blender, and everyone got that. So then the next one says someone likes yogurt. So they put strawberries and yogurt into a blender and gave it to them. And, you know, someone liked bananas. So then it was strawberries, yogurt, and banana.
Oh, I'd hate to see the next person wants bacon and eggs.
Eggs Benedict.
Oh, yeah. Yum.
By the end of it, you had a smoothie that had, you know, strawberries, bananas, yogurt, Eggs Benedict, a cheeseburger and fries, Thanksgiving turkey dinner, sushi, tuna fish.
You know, I think I've thrown up more appetizing stuff than that.
And
this actually sounds like intriguing.
And so basically there was, and you, the thing is this, you're competing against other people, but you don't know how they're doing for the most part.
Oh, that would actually be pretty cool.
There was like one part where you had to stand on this device that had like bolt heads on it. That, you know, when you stand up for a little while, it's massaging. Well, after a while, it gets really painful. And so you're competing against 8 other people. And once the first person quits, the game's over. Well, they don't tell you when the first person quits. They want to see your so that way you're competing not just against them, but competing against yourself.
Yeah.
So one person stood, you know.
So they basically, you know, one person could quit like 2 seconds into it, but, you know, they might leave you, you know.
The game continues.
Standing there for like an hour until like the, you know, so they go until the last person quits.
Basically.
Just to see how they do.
They started off it with you went into this box, and you had to get out of the box after 4 hours. And while you're in the box, it got progressively hotter. And they gave you little things to try and keep track of time, you know, a ball, a thing of chalk to keep track of what time, how long you thought you were in there. And the person who gets out closest to 4 hours wins that first challenge. And so they got through, and, you know, someone came out at like, you know, 3 minutes to 4 hours, you know, right on the time. And then they had 3 people that were in there for 6 hours.
Wow.
And they go... And it's a computer voice that talks to you. And they go, how long do you think you've been in the box? Well, I think I've been in here about 3.5 hours. And they go, what would you say if I told you you've been in there for 6 hours? And they're like, what? And they finally, you know, let them escape. And then the person who wins that competition is exempt from the next challenge.
Yeah, they do a lot. That's kind of a common thing. It's like, you know, you beat one thing and then you get an exemption
and
such.
But. And sometimes you get a little reward with it. Like, you know, that's where you get your favorite meal. You bring a something from home to some personal item you get to have in there. So, you know, someone had like a straight jacket they put on. Someone had a guitar or camera. And, you know, so you get a little reward for doing well. And then if you fail the next one, the second one, you're usually eliminated.
Oh, yeah. That sounds like a really, you know, different sort of show. I might actually be interested in checking that one out. Yeah,
that's on the Fox Reality Channel.
Oh, yeah. I don't even know if I have that channel. Maybe they have it on Fox.com or something like that.
If you go to Fox Reality, it's an interesting... Because, like I said, you're competing against other people, but you're competing against yourself as well. And the funny thing is that when they did season two, the people didn't meet each other until, like, 2 months after the show ended.
Oh, yeah. So they have no idea who they were even competing against.
Yeah, because all you hear is this. They give you a little snippet, you know, like two sentences the person uses to describe themselves. So what hurt on the second season is one of the guys was a contestant on Survivor. And they said that. And so everybody was gunning for him.
Oh, yeah.
And so there was this challenge between the jock guys of, you know, I'm going to beat the guy who couldn't cut it on Survivor. So that's about the most interesting thing that I've seen on that stuff. But like I said, you've got RuPaul coming back with RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah, because I know they've done a few of them. Like, they've had the... you know, the ones like, you know, they had one actually that they, it was sort of a competition for these guys to, you know, basically be the best cross dresser or pass or something like that. And I don't remember like the name of it or what channel it was on.
That.
I guess Jimmy's out there now.
And they were all very masculine looking guys.
Yeah, they were all, you know, I mean, and I didn't get to see, like, the final. I mean, there was some of them that they, you know, when they got all dressed up and everything, they, you know, passed pretty well, and then they run into the...
Well, but, you know, you got the Hollywood people dressing them and putting their makeup on and stuff. Yeah.
But, you know, there was some of them, they, you know, they said they, you know, felt kind of weird because, like, you know, they're sitting there passing and everything, and they're, you know, like, talking to some dude, and they're like, man, what if this guy, you know, finds out and, like, you know, what's he going to do? Is he going to beat the crap out of me or freak out and stuff? You know, so they got, like, a whole different perspective on some of that.
Welcome to your world.
Yeah. Yeah, really. And, so, you know, I know there's been a bunch of those shows out there. And, like, you know, it'd be kind of interesting to, you know, compile a list and actually, you know, see some of these things. But, you know, then they had the other one that was... I don't remember the thing of it, but it was done just sort of like The Bachelor kind of thing. But they were all trying to, you know, win a dream date with the girl.
Oh, yeah.
And, Miriam? And like, yeah, was that it?
Something
yeah.
about
Something
Miriam.
About Miriam. Miriam.
And like, you know, you know, they finally get up there to the very last part, and, you know, the guy wins the date and all that. And she's like, well, I got to tell you, you know, and it's like, basically, you know, I've got a penis or something
I'm
like
better
that.
Than you are.
Yeah, and, you know, it was kind of like, I was watching that, and I was like, you know, I was just offended on, like, all kinds of fronts, because it was like, you know, like, on one hand, they're, like, you know, making it like, oh, you know, aha, you know, it's a big joke on this guy that, you know, here's this, you know, it's like
know,
the crying game or something, you know.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know, it was a British reality show, and Miriam was a South American... transgender who I guess she thought they knew about it already and just hidden it, but it ended up where some of the male contestants sued the production company for, you know, putting them through this embarrassment, and they won some money, and that's why it took a while to come over here to the States. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, that's bad on so many fronts, because it's not fair to the guys, and it's not fair to her.
Yeah.
Because it ends up...
Everybody got exploited.
Points to, she's the freak.
Yeah. And it's kind of like, ha-ha on you. Mm-hmm. Look, you get to date the freak.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was just insulted by that whole, you know, concept there. You know, it'd be one thing if, like, you know, if it... was like, hey, you know, here's this trans person and, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's like, no, that wouldn't fly because, you know, of all the...
Well, they had that series with what's her name?
The macho and all that,
when Calpurnia Adams...
Yes, Calpurnia.
Yeah, it's like, it was known, you know.
Mm-hmm. But the one part that was a twist in it was one of her suitors was transgendered, mm-hmm. female to male.
Yeah.
Oh, and I didn't know that.
Yeah, and...
I didn't see the whole thing.
The guys didn't notice it. They couldn't figure out. But I guess I've hung around enough with the TG crowd here that, you know, as soon as I turn on, I go, wait a minute, that guy, there's something about him. It took a little while, you know.
Yeah. Which, speaking of the FDM guys, there was a show tonight. There was an FDM performance artist in town, and I don't have the information. I think he was doing a show at Diverse Works or something.
No kidding. I didn't know about
they
that
actually,
either.
Yes, the Stag Group actually had, like, a barbecue over at the TG Center.
Damn.
And I believe he was a guest there, or they were, you know, or at least trying. Mm-hmm. At last I heard, they were trying to get him as a guest as sort of a Welcome to Houston party. And there was a bunch of them that were supposed to go. I don't recall what his name is or any of the other information. I'd got the email, but I had deleted it before I realized that I was going to need the information.
He's a performance artist?
Yeah, he's some sort of performance artist. I'm not sure what his the whole act is or anything like that, but I know it was he was some sort of performance artist that was going to be doing things. And, like, what is the other one that was really... is Lauren Cameron?
Cameron.
And I saw Lauren Cameron.
Oh, he's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, I heard that, like, at the beginning of the show or whatever, you didn't know that he was trans.
No.
Is that the story?
No.
Or maybe somebody told it.
I went there because I bought his book.
Oh, okay.
And
well,
it
so
was
I misheard the story.
The most fascinating thing I've ever read. And I wanted to see him in person. And he did not disappoint.
Yeah, the story I heard is, like, you know, he's all, like, tattooed up with all these, like, tribal tattoos, and he comes out and he's flexing and everything. And
yeah, because he's also a bodybuilder.
Yeah, and the story that I had heard was, like, kind of like, you know, you're there, like, going, wow, this guy's looking good, but where's his junk? That was the way it was told to me. But, so I don't know if, like I said, I don't even know the name of the guy that was Diverse Works. I'm sure they've probably got a website that you could look it up. I don't know if he's doing a repeat performance later or if it was just a one-shot show tonight. But, yeah, they did have that going on. Normally, Melissa's here with her laptop, and she can, you know, pull all this information up when we need it. But, you know, I've just got my notes that I printed out at, like, you know, 10 o'clock tonight before heading out to come downtown.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that just from what I've got from memory, that's all. But, yeah, you know, at the time, there was no, you know, there's no really, you know, no sense in trying to, like, announce the ticket prices and all that because the show's already over.
Mm.
But I don't know if he's doing a repeat performance tomorrow night or next week or whatever, if this is a one-time thing. Maybe we...
If you can, if you find out,
If I find out, I'll see if I can.
Information
I can email it to you.
Yeah.
I still need to remember. I've got a whole stack of old things, transgender newsletters and such for GCAM. If I can ever remember to actually put them in my backpack when I'm coming down here.
Yes, please.
I've been staying at a friend's house the last few days, so I didn't had a job interview and. Mm-hmm. All that fun stuff. So I just packed my suit and other things with me. I didn't think to bring all those newsletters, but you know we'll get that stuff to GCAM eventually. But
okay.
Well, you got anything new, Jimmy? You heard any cool transgender news?
No, I haven't.
I've been doing my own thing, so I haven't why I said I've caught a few things in passing, but that's about it.
You know, I still haven't made it over to the new TG Center.
It's a really nice place. It's it's done in one of these the nice older houses here in the Montrose area, and they
it's over on Fargo, right?
Yeah, it's on Fargo. What's that address?
713 Fargo.
Yeah, 413 Fargo. And
Fargo is parallel to
Fairview.
Yeah,
just like, north.
Yeah, just
one
just
block
like north.
North.
And yeah, they have it there. I mean, do they have like drop-in hours or anything like that, Kristen?
The center is generally open from 2 to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, and also Saturday, and every other Sunday. I don't know if those hours are current right now with Kristen and Carolyn both out of town.
Yeah, I know Kristen's out in California, last I heard. She's trying to...
They're both in Thailand right now,
Oh, yeah, they actually went to Thailand.
Yeah,
oh, my goodness.
Yeah, they took a little trip to Thailand for some tourism and to visit one of my other friends who's over there in Thailand right now. She's touring all of Southeast Asia, Laos and Cambodia and Indonesia and Malaysia. And
well, I mean, the U.S. military did that years ago, but I guess it's a little bit different agenda this time.
Usually people go to Thailand for SRS, don't they?
Yeah, well, they've actually, they've already been there for that a while, but this is actually a sightseeing tour and all that because they just, you know, the area over there is just beautiful. Mm-hmm. There's all the, you know, Chris and Carolyn both are Buddhist and, so, you know, there's, you know, a big, I think probably 90% of Thailand is Buddhist.
Oh.
So there's, that's like the predominant religion over there. And so and there's just a lot of beautiful temples and countryside and other things to see over there.
Mm-hmm.
And so that they're just over there vacationing.
Oh, how nice.
Kristen had been out in California basically trying to open up a new transgender center out there. And expand some of the programs and things that they have here in Houston out in California. I think in
San Francisco,
you know, which is kind of an appropriate place for GLBT things to be happening.
And that's so weird that somebody from Texas has to go to San Francisco.
Yeah, you would think it would be the other way around.
Yeah.
You would think when the San Francisco people would be coming down here going, well, let me show you how to do the queer thing right. But, you know, I guess...
Well, the problem is that over there, they're just not sure how to do it. And here in Texas, everything's bigger, so it just takes a Texan.
There you go.
Steamroll in there with that.
Sometimes you forget when you're really as progressive as we are here in some areas, you forget that you don't think of... we don't think of ourselves as being ahead of the...
The Houston GLBT community has really got it together, and the trans community especially. Like I was mentioning, my friend Charlotte over on the East Coast, you know, she had some problems. She went to a party, and, you know, the particular, you know, group of people there really didn't, you know, roll out the welcome mat and kind of, you know, gave her some bad treatment. And I was like, you know, I've never had that sort of thing here. I mean, I used to go, you know, after I was transitioning and got to where, you know, I was, you know, passable and all that and trying to fit in, I actually started going to the lesbian coming out group over at the GLBT Community Center.
Yeah.
Because it was like, well, you know, I knew how to be trans, but, you know, I was like, I was identifying as lesbian and I really didn't know a whole lot about the lesbian community. And I started going to that, and the facilitator for that at the time was Deb Murphy.
Oh, yeah.
Who is like the facilitator for the Hatch group now.
Yes.
And there was a couple of people there that, you know, they had found out and, you know, through somebody else that had some kind of issue, and they... A couple of things got sort of blown out of proportion. They were like, well, you know, why are you letting, you know, Melanie come to this thing? And, you know, she basically put them in her place and said, look, you know, this group, you know, defines lesbian as anyone who says they are. And, you know, that's how the group, you know, considered it. You know, if you come into the group and say you're a lesbian, nobody should judge you on that.
Good for them.
And, you know, I mean...
That's exactly what I would expect from Deb.
Yeah, and it was, you know, it was really good to have that kind of acceptance and everything. And, you know, as things went on and everything like that, I mean, I actually almost became the facilitator for the lesbian coming out group at one time.
Wow.
The only reason I didn't, because, like, just like now, all I had, you know, back then, all I had was a motorcycle, and she was worried about, you know, like, if it was storming and really mm-hmm. bad weather and everything, mm-hmm. you know, knowing that I would still try to drive my bike up there, you know, to be there for the meeting. And she just didn't want to worry about me having to get stuck in the elements or
yeah.
have an accident or something like that. So, you know, they end up selecting like a little, you know, a few rotating facilitators mm-hmm. and such. But, you know, it was, you know, it's amazing how, you know, the Houston community really, you know, works with each other and accepts each other and stuff like that.
I know, because when you're here and you're in the community and or kind of... not running the community, but I mean part of the workings of the community, you don't think that we're as progressive as we are, because
mm-hmm.
you know, because the usual stuff, the infighting, the this, the that,
oh,
the
yeah,
drama.
You've got political infighting, you know, drama in any kind of group, whether it's GLBT or not.
Yeah, and you think, gosh, I wish we were like New York, I wish we were like San Francisco, and then you find out you're better than them.
Yeah. Well, as Texas, I think we're required to be better than everybody else, isn't it?
Well, I think we are.
But, I kind of, my train of thought just kind of got derailed a
Sorry.
Little bit. But, yeah, that's the, you know, the thing is, you know, we've got a lot of stuff going on. I was talking about, to a friend of mine. I stopped in at her store before I headed over here,
mm-hmm.
just saying briefly, and, you know, which I was talking about. You know, here's one for the specifically for the Houston transgender community, because of, like, you know, tonight, for instance, with Melissa out of town, I may be starting a job soon that requires me to work on the weekends.
Ooh.
So I may be unavailable for the show.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Melissa's basically working two jobs right now, and in addition to everything. So we're actually looking to maybe recruit another couple of co-hosts that we might be able to get rotating, sort of rotating hosts. So, you know, if one or both of us aren't available, you know, somebody else could fill in or maybe set up a schedule so that Melissa and I might do a show one month and you might have a couple other people the next month back
mm-hmm.
and forth,
mm-hmm.
like they used to back in the day.
Yeah.
When I first started coming around, you had...
Sarah.
There was
and,
Sarah De Palma. What was her name?
I know.
It was so long ago, so I can't remember half of the people.
Yeah.
It was Katrina. You know, Katrina Rose. There was
Vanessa.
What is her name?
Vanessa.
Vanessa
Edwards Foster.
And was it not Dawn?
No, who moved to Dallas?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was Beth.
Beth, yeah.
And the other
and then
girl.
The black, black woman.
Yeah, and I'm blanking on her name. And
she worked at Continental.
Yeah, and we used to hang out all the time.
Yeah.
You don't know who I'm, that's probably before your time there, Christine. I'll remember, like, right after we go off the air, I'll snap
to it. Would love to have somebody from STAG on.
Yeah, that's one thing Melissa and I both would like, you know, like to get started. Like, we had Michael in here once, but I lost Michael's number. And otherwise, I would probably have called him tonight and seen if he wanted to co-host. But he was open to it and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what he's got going on as far as scheduling and all that.
Okay, well, that's something to work out.
Yeah, we'd like, you know, would like to get an FTM on just so we can get the other side of the
you bet.
The perspective and
you
all
bet.
That. Because so, you know, just so maybe, you know, if we get a little bit more testosterone into the thing. Because, I mean, you know, they buy their stuff by the bucket. And you know, that would be
can't have too much testosterone for me.
Oh yeah, well, they, you know, they could probably, you know, give you a shot if you ask them nice.
Ooh.
You know, that, you know, you don't mind a shot in the rear every now and then.
I certainly don't.
Yeah,
we with discussed their, you getting that a shot in the rear last week. I
yes,
believe.
Yes, yes, we did.
And but
that,
I think.
Yeah, well, I get one twice a month, whether I need it or not.
So, yeah. so,
Is that a shot of testosterone or a different kind of shot?
No, it's testosterone.
Yeah, getting some sort of injection, I'm sure. But, that's one of the things. We're looking to recruit a couple extra co-hosts that, we might be able to do a rotating basis because that... I said, we've all got things, even though it's only once a month, it's like, it always seems like for me on the, something happens on the fourth Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
I know, actually at Vanity's next party, if I'm not working my, my paying job, I'm supposed to help her out with the party. So
oh.
But that's pretty much all I've got for this segment.
Okay.
If you guys don't have anything else going on, I think we're gonna.
We've got a lot going on because we're in the middle of membership drive.
Yeah. So if you guys do you want to go right into that, or do you want to play us out with some music, or what you got over there?
We'll hear a little bit of music, and we'll regroup and figure out what we're going to do.
That sounds great. Well, everybody, this has been the Transgender Show. This is Melanie and Christine sitting there looking chastised because she was, she had the enthusiasm and everything, but
sorry.
Earth was still flat, and clouds made of fire, and mountains stretched up to the sky, sometimes higher. Folks roamed the earth like big rolling kegs. They had two sets of arms, they had two sets of legs, they had two faces peering out of one giant head, so they could watch all around them as they talked while they read, and they never knew nothing of life. It was before the origin of love. And there was three sexes then, one that looked like two men glued up back to back. They called the children of the sun, and similar in shape and girth was the children of the earth. They looked like two girls rolled up in one, and the children of the moon was like a fox back on a spoon. They were fox and pot earth, pot earth, pot sun. Now the gods grew quite scared of our strength and defiance, and Thor said, I'm gonna kill them all with my hammer like I killed the giants. But Zeus said, no, you better let me use my lightning like scissors, like I cut the legs off the whales, dinosaurs into lizards. And then he grabbed up some bolts, he let out a laugh, said I'll split them right down the middle, gonna cut them right off in half. Hear the storm clouds gathered above, it's a great ball of fire. And then fire. Yeah.
I saw you, we just split in two. You was looking at me, I was looking at you. You had a way so familiar, I could not recognize, 'cause you had blood on your face, I had blood in my eyes. But I could swear by your expression that the pain down in your soul was the same, the one down in
Right, that was from Hedwig and the Angry Inch, The Origin of Love.
I got an origin of love for you.
I guess that's another song I can do in drag, huh? God, I'm getting too serious about this. I may actually end up in drag here soon.
Uh-oh. You got a good drag name going on?
Yeah. I came up with it years ago, never used it.
And what's that?
Christy Sotheby. Because like those fine institutions, uh-huh. I go to the highest bidder.
I know that's wrong.
Okay, I usually buy the high... I usually am the highest bidder.
9 times out of 10?
I thought your bisexual days were over, Chris. You know, paying for it?
It's all about pay-to-play nowadays.
Yeah, now I pay for it by spending 5 hours online switching between 4 different... websites.
I thought you said five.
Five.
Oh.
Bigger City, Bear 411, Bear WW, Squirt, Craigslist.
X2?
I have picked up an internet friend from X2, yes.
So that's six.
Six.
Multitask much?
Just on his day off.
And at night.
They wonder why you have bags under your eyes when you go to work in the morning.
Maybe that's why my back hurts.
It's not Gucci.
Yeah. Maybe that's why my back hurts from laying on the damn couch going, come on, somebody.
It's not Gucci or Louis Vuitton.
Maybe Prada.
I can't believe you got rid of
there's a first.
Cum shot.
Well, I can't find it.
It's a special dedication song I need for one of the stories.
Oh, boy. Wow.
There goes Jimmy pulling another CD.
Oh, yeah.
What's Jimmy pulling on?
Jimmy,
what?
There's a lot better things for you to be yanking besides your CDs.
His cross-dressers, what?
As I just sit here and hunt through all the CDs.
Damn. Oh, well.
One more time?
Damn.
Okay, so...
All right, well, fine. I'll just do the story that I had... Wanted to play Super 8 Cum Shot.
What song was it you were going to play?
Oh, Daddy.
Daddy.
Oh, hell.
Because... Screw it. Damn thing won't stay in place. I'll just grab it.
There's a... never mind.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, sometimes you have to hold it in place.
Courtesy of Tola Road, the winner of the GLBT blog, Internet Blog Award, gave a link to the Spring Observer, participant in the 1991 gay murder back behind bars. Paul Chance Dillon, one of the 10 men accused of beating and stabbing to death the 27-year-old gay Houston banker Paul Broussard in 1991, was sent back to prison last week after the Texas Board of Pardons and Paroles decided on the 16th that he violated the conditions of his release from prison when he cut off his ankle bracelet and absconded from his mother's home on December 3rd.
Yeah, that definitely sounds like a violation.
Just a little bit, you know?
During a January 6th hearing at the jail, where Dylan had been held since his capture a couple days after his most recent attempt at flight, the convicted attempted murderer looked contrite and remorseful, speaking quietly and respectful. "I was dealing with a lot of frustration that day, a lot of financial problems," Dylan told the hearing officer. "I made a poor decision, and I have no excuse for reacting the way I did."
Mm. We've heard that story before.
The only thing I can think, I have to be careful because, you know, the first words that come into my mind, I have to kind of edit because I want to say boo, effing who.
Yeah.
Right?
Dylan's December 3rd appearance was at least the second time he removed his monitoring device and fled from supervision. Dylan's parole was revoked in 2007 when he'd taken off his electronic monitoring bracelet and dumped it in a steak and ale dumpster. I guess he couldn't do it this time since they're all closed. this was according
to... Well, the one over on 1960 is still open.
This is according to Houston Mayor...
That's okay. He doesn't need to be near sharp objects like steak knives anyhow.
No.
Anyhow. Actually, those guys didn't need anything like that.
Oh, there we go. Plus, I think theirs is rounded on the end anyway.
True.
According to Houston Mayor Office Crime Victims Director Andy Cannon. So he went back to prison for 6 months or so because he was originally released under the old mandatory release law. They couldn't keep him for the duration of his sentence. At the January 6th parole hearing, his fiancée and friend delivered a statement on his behalf saying that Dylan is up to date on supervision payments and is trying hard to stay on the right track, showing no signs of violent tendencies, but added that he could benefit from counseling to better deal with life after prison.
Aww. He's not trying hard enough, in my opinion.
Under the terms of his original conviction, Dylan was to serve 20 years in prison for his Hannah Broussard's murder. He was released in 2000 after serving only 6 years due to mandatory release laws that have been since abolished. Dylan may now be remanded back to the custody of the justice to continue serving his original sentence. He was originally charged with 2 counts of attempted murder. His sentence will discharge on November 19th, 2011.
How do you get charged? How exactly does it work out that you get charged with attempted murder when the guy actually died?
Because he didn't mean it.
Oh, please.
Right.
I'm sorry the fag died. It's not my fault. I just had the 2x4 in my hand.
You know, as my sister used to say, and I can't say the words on the air, but the sympathies between two other S words in the dictionary. The other one, the second is syphilis. I'll leave it to your imagination what the first one is.
Also, at the time of the murder, Dylan was on parole for burglary of a building. Since his release from 2000, aside from cutting his ankle bracelet repeatedly, he's also been arrested for evading arrest and theft by check. This is one of those fine, outstanding gentlemen who's just so misunderstood that we've heard about who committed this heinous crime. I wonder if someone out there is going to apologize for this poor, misunderstood person.
I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon.
I believe the British would say not bloody likely. And I guess I'll have another bad story written about me.
As far as that's concerned, we could use another British. Hey, dude, get stuffed.
Actually, if he's going back to prison, he will be.
He will be getting stuffed.
Yeah. Well, what do you expect? I mean, this is one of the few of these guys that, you know, his fiancée is supposedly a woman, so, you know,
or at least she is now.
Yeah. Because we heard, you know, that was the defense. It was gay panic because they couldn't handle their own homosexuality.
Okay, he's gone back to... Is there anybody left who was actually in there anyhow from those days? From that gang?
Well, Vice is the only one who stayed in there since original time, but everyone else has gone back and forth in some other things. But, you know, they're all just poor, misunderstood young men. I'll cry for him for a moment. That's it. Yeah. All right.
Let's boo and who?
See. Let's talk about mayors behaving badly.
Woo!
Oh, fun. Where at now?
Oh, wait, this one's not a mayor. I'm sorry. He's a... Oh, no, he's a mayor. Yes. Mayors behaving badly. Straight edition first. Racine Mayor Gary Becker was charged with attempted sexual assault of a child and possession of child pornography, among other charges, when he made his initial appearance in the Racine County Circuit Court on Thursday. According to the criminal complaint released by the DA, the mayor faces the following charges. Attempted sexual assault of a child under 16 years of age.
Yikes.
If convicted, he could face up to $50,000 in fines and up to 20 years in prison, which includes jail or prison on an extended supervision or probation. Child enticement. If convicted, he could face up to $100,000 in fines and 25 years imprisonment.
Wow.
Possession of child pornography. If convicted, he could face up to $100,000 in fines, 25 years in prison. Also, a $500 charge per image. And a minimum sentence of 3 years initial confinement. Use of a computer to facilitate a child sex crime. Another $100,000 in 40 years. Attempted exposing a child to harmful material. That's only $10,000 in fines and 9 months in prison. And misconduct of a public in a public office, which is $10,000 in fines and 3.5 years in prison. According to the complaint, a man contracted by the city as a computer help desk technician called the police saying he had performed work on the personal computer of the mayor. He's responsible for tech support for the city of Racine agencies and departments. He said he did perform maintenance on Becker's personal computer. The computer was repaired during time dedicated to contract duties with the city. While serving the computer, he said he found 6 pornographic images possibly depicting underage females. Abbreviation for one file, DAU, which indicates a fetish for incest.
When did this idiot do this?
Last month, apparently.
Good God.
A Yahoo Messenger profile that Becker created, according to the complaint, lists his interest as seducing all age females into being hot sluts.
Oh my God. How the hell did he get elected?
New York governor seemed to.
During the chats, the complaint reads that M. Reed indicated his real name was Gary, that he was 6 foot tall and weighed about 210. He indicated his interest in sexual activity with Hope You Like Me 14, who said she was in eighth grade. A photograph of a former intern was sent to M. Reed.
I wonder if he had Mark Foley on his buddy list.
This Hope You Like Me 14 was a cop posing after they caught him, after they found the stuff. After they found the stuff on there. The agent reported that Becker initially said he was not Mr. Reed, but then admitted he was. When the agent produced a copy of the online chat, the mayor admitted the log was his. And he agreed to meet her at a food court at the mall.
Did they make him do the perp walk?
I don't know, but they...
Because, they love that. They like being handcuffed and marched around, I guess.
Kind of folks don't last long behind bars, actually.
Oh, no.
They're not. They're real popular.
Surprised there's nothing saying in here that he's been removed from office or resigned yet. So apparently he's still the mayor.
Hey, Bitter is still senator. Bitter is still senator. David Bitter.
Yeah, his was a prostitute.
Oh.
And now to the mayor pervert. Homosexual edition.
Oh, God.
Portland, Oregon's just inducted openly gay mayor Sam Adams, 44, has confessed to having a sexual relationship with a teenage former staffer. Love this name. Beau Breedlove. In 2005. Adams was the county commissioner at the time, Adams and Breedlove had met when the teen was 17 years old. Adams maintained he and Breedlove did not have sex until Breedlove was 18.
Oh, so he bred love then? Anyway,
He has said, yeah, until today I've not discussed the true nature of my relationship with anyone, not my friends, family, or staff, or colleagues on the council. I've apologized to Bo for asking him to lie for me. I want to apologize to my colleagues for my dishonesty, and especially to the people of Portland for my dishonesty. Adams had been questioned about his relationship with the then-teen before his November election, but both he and the young man told the press that the time of the relationship had only been platonic. It's not clear why Adams has now admitted to the relationship or whether he intends to stay in office.
Platonic, you mean above the waist.
Yeah. And now they found pictures of Mr. Breedlove from his he's now 21 in his Facebook or MySpace. And quite little hunky pictures they
had.
You
know what gets me is, you know, of all groups of people, gay politicians are paid attention to on a level that straight ones just don't always just because they're queer. So it just gets me when a gay politician does something that gets noticed in a way that, you know, we just don't need to end up, you know. It's like, you know, how much more damage do you want to do to the the community as a whole by pulling a stunt that's going to put your face on the news, you know?
I mean, it's bad enough that...
Even if it was a past offense, I mean, you know.
It's bad enough that homosexuals are portrayed as pedophiles in a lot of circles. We don't need people like this reinforcing that stereotype.
Yeah.
The bad part is also, according to the one source I use here, ageofconsent.com, Oregon law, it's 18 is age of consent. So... You know, he still has to insist the fact that, you know, he didn't touch him until he turned 18. But that is still going to be the big problem is if, you know, they met during when he was 17 and did anything about it. That's where the question is. The Portland District Attorney, they're asking for a special investigator to look into this issue of what he did and what he didn't
do. Iron Kenneth Starr isn't doing anything these days.
I mean, it's sad that, you know, in a day and age when information can be out there 5 seconds after an event happens, even with straight people, but with gay people, it makes so much more of a public issue. You know, it becomes so much more of a... thing. So, I'm sorry. I think in this day and age, members of our community need to grow up and you know, not do stupid stuff.
Well, we are talking about something that happened 4 years ago.
Yeah.
It was when the relationship, quote unquote, started.
But it's still...
And you know, it's not about what may have actually occurred more than what, you know, you know that saying, perception is reality.
Yeah.
Well, whatever may or may not have happened, what is perceived as possibly having happened will be the news item and just reflects really badly.
But here's the one thing I noticed reading these two articles that I just did.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing some of the other stuff with the mayor's thing. Here you've got a gay mayor who's accused
mm-hmm.
of having sexual relations with a 17-year-old male.
Mm-hmm.
And there are talks about him being tossed from office.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see anything in that article about the mayor and Racine, who admitted to having mm-hmm. dirty chat with who he thought was a 14-year-old girl,
mm-hmm.
agreeing to meet her, and all these other things that he was planning to do with a 14-year-old mm-hmm. female. And there was mm-hmm. not one talk in there about the fact that he's going to lose his office, that he has lost his office. you know.
And what kind of idiot?
Huh?
That he should lose his office?
That he should lose. I mean, Blagojevich, you know, was accused of, you know, trying to sell the senatorship position.
The senatorship, yeah.
And the first thing everyone was saying is he needs to get out of office, he needs to quit, and he needs to resign. There was nothing in that article about the Racine mayor who wanted to screw around with a 14-year-old girl about him being leaving office. But, you know, there's talk about the fact that someone had, you know, may or may not had a relationship with a 17-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, the conservatives want to...
Anyone see the injustice here? I mean, really?
I haven't even... I mean, on a level of what kind of idiot are you? Meeting a 14-year-old...
For sex. In a mall food
court. In a mall.
Seriously.
Not exactly. I mean, that's almost up there with the governor who put everything on his credit card. But okay.
That's like the awesome thing to do now. Have you seen To Catch a Predator?
Oh, I'm sorry. Now, in the mayor's defense, okay, I can see why he said a mall food court. Because it's a little easier for little Sally, 14 years old, to say, Mom, can you drive me to the mall? I'm going to meet Mary and Jane and Sally and all them
Steve.
Down at the mall. And we're going to, you know, just hang around, look at boys, maybe go see a movie. And so she can drop her off there and then be picked up by Horn Dog Mayor.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see why they met at a food court, because, you know, I certainly hope her mother was smart enough not to drop her off at the Holiday Inn.
What about the Comfort Suites?
It just depends on what hotel's next to the mall.
Oh, okay.
Exactly.
I don't know what kind of people would be checking to see what kind of hotels are next to malls for relationships like that.
You know,
where does hands come from?
Mikey, put your hand down.
You know, I can say from personal experience that...
yeah, because I go for younger guys. Oh, that's so obvious.
Yeah, right.
Robert.
Right.
Whoa. Exactly. I'm robbing the grave, not the cradle.
I can say in my experience...
Chris quite in the grave.
I'm not dead yet.
I'm not dead
Jimmy
yet.
Okay,
dead.
Okay, Jose.
Anyway. Yes.
Your point you're trying to make?
Okay. I have a friend of mine that... I have a couple of friends of mine that are about 17, 18. And when we go out and hang out somewhere, we always get looks from people. And they automatically assume that something is going on between us because our age difference is very obvious. And... there's nothing going on, of course, but people assume the worst, you know. But yet, when you see a younger female with an older man, no one really says anything.
That's your dad.
They praise him.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've been chatting with one person, and, you know, I made a comment to him and said, you know, I can't see myself with someone, you know, 20 years older than I am, but I can see someone 20 years younger. You know, it's one of those things, you have those different perceptions on these things.
Yeah, the further you go up, the further you get up the scale, the less you can see yourself with somebody older than you.
See, I'm not going to go for anyone 20 years younger, because they'd be too...
I will never forget the time that Stanley and I went to Key West. Stanley is 21 years older than me. He's my lover. We've been together for 30 years. We were standing on the corner... of the main drag.
You were hooking and he was pimping you?
I was going to say that.
And
a
convertible of Queens went by. And as the car drove by, one of them shouted out, "He's too old for you, honey." Stanley
acted... Was he talking to Stanley?
Stanley acted like he didn't hear anything. I didn't say anything. We just went on. It was...
How many decades ago was that?
They could have been talking to you.
No, they weren't.
Thinking that he needed someone, you know, he needed some chicken.
This was some years ago when I looked a lot better.
Many, many years. Come on, that portrait of Dorian Gray you have in your closet burst into flames 3 decades ago.
No, just 5 years ago. That's when it happened.
Oh, that's why you're wearing that lace in that thing. It's that picture's 200 years old. Okay. All right.
So you're saying another reason why he tries to suck the blood of the innocent.
So no, that's not blood he's sucking.
Number
and
one.
And you're in the wrong part of town to try and find the innocent.
Oh, hello.
So you're saying when you met Stanley, pterodactyls were still flying around?
Ooh. Something like that.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah. What are we talking about? I'm innocent. I'm right here.
You're not innocent.
Mikey, you're as innocent as my little toe.
I'm very innocent.
What color are your eyes? Give me a break.
They're green.
B.S. Yeah. Brown.
I see them turning brown as we speak.
Because
you're full of it.
Hey, you know what we need to do right now?
What?
Even though there's no one in there to take the phone call, we need to ask for your pledge of support.
That's right.
713-526-5738. 713-JAM-KPFT. You know,
just for the record, Jimmy used to look like Mark Hamill when he was younger.
Now he has the hairstyle of Dorothy Hamill.
You have a point there.
You know, yikes. We come to you every week, barring suspensions and such, to give you our take of the community, whether it's local, whether it's national, whether it's international. And whether you love us or hate us or, you know, think, when are we going to get the damn queers off and get into the Zydeco music? The fact is that we're still needed to give a kind of perspective to our community. You know, Will and Grace come and gone. Queer as Folk is come and gone. Ellen can get all the Emmys that she wants. She can, you know, dance with whoever. You know, she can dance with Barack Obama again on her show. It's not going to change the perception that many in this nation have about our community. And I'll admit, you know, we may not give the best impression of our community, but we try and give you a different look than what you're going to hear out there.
Mm-hmm. This ain't logo television, kids.
We're not sanitized for your protection. Protection on this show?
Yeah.
Sanity on this show? Oh, sorry.
This is, we're totally not scripted at all.
We're not scripted. We go by the flag. But what we need, we ask for your support to show management that, yes, there is still a need. And we like to have fun, and we give you a part of the community that you're not going to hear. Next week, we're going to be playing a lot more music. It'll be Let's Drive Again. And you're going to hear music you're not going to hear on other shows. You're going to hear the openly queer artists. And, you know, there's some people out there who don't understand that concept. We were teasing about my personal ads. I have things on there about the radio show saying, hey, if you're a queer artist, mm-hmm. let me know. And this one guy here in Houston said, yeah, I know a gay artist, and I forget. It was like, you know, the lead singer from Savage Garden. That's what he wanted to tell me. It's like, no, that's not the sort of stuff we want to talk about. We want to talk about the local artists. We want, you know, Jay Arsenault, who's going to be in here in a couple of weeks. You're not going to hear about that. You know, we play Romanowski and Phillips, who is one of the leads in here. You know, we don't play Jason and DeMarco that much because they're getting a little bit of mainstream on there. I mean, the documentary about them is now coming out on DVD. We're All Angels.
We are?
Well, that's the name of their DVD.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I thought you were talking about us.
Oh, well, we know you guys are.
We know.
I'm an angel of horns.
But
the horns hold up my halo, okay?
But we need to be able to go to management and say, you know, this kind of program is viable, that we are giving us a way of showing our community and showing our pride by coming in here and, you know, discussing some of these topics here. We're going to talk a little bit here with marriage and Ted Haggard and milk and mm-hmm. other little pervert things that we find out here on the net. But we need for you to call 713-526-5738, 713-JAM-KPFT. We still have the two tickets to Greece down at Stage Door Inc. For a $50 pledge on plastic. We'd love to give those away. Go online, go to kpft.org. You can place your pledge there as well.
You know, we may sound at times kind of an insane group of people.
Just sound it?
fight me.
How hard?
And where? Come on, let him finish.
Sticks and stones. Anyhow.
Excite me?
Exactly. but here's the thing. On some level, certainly for me, being part of this show is what's kept me sane through some pretty rough times in my life over the last several years, you know? And, yeah, no, it's we joke about all of us having faces made for radio.
What you talking about? I should be on TV.
Mm. Yeah, America's Most Wanted.
That's cool.
Yeah,
he didn't say he was a runaway.
He with the tidy ball hair.
What?
He smashed a Smurf on his head.
Tidy ball hair.
But I look anyhow, like a snow cone.
Let Papa
anyhow,
snow
the, cone. Anyhow,
let my, Papa preach.
My point is this. You know, we come here because we love what we do. And some of us, yeah, are probably in the larger community considered a bit of a bunch of freaks.
Woohoo!
Yay.
And you know, I'm the guy with the t-shirt that, you know, you say freak like it's a bad thing. Well, these happy little freaks have been doing this for a long time. And I know, I've talked to people who have listened to this show, and I know how people are affected by what we say. Sometimes we do some powerful conversations on this show. We talk about, through all the joking and the goofing off, sometimes we have some pretty serious stuff going on here. You know, we hit some pretty serious topics in our community. And we're still here, which means we still matter. And, you know, all it takes is for a handful of you to let us know that we matter. And pick up that phone and let us know you care.
And if not for you,
yeah,
call in for the teenager who's listening in the show on their radio, because they want to find out about their community.
You know, exactly. I have to thank Merlin for dragging me to the show so many years ago, and you know, because I got a chance to know my community in a wider sense, rather than just, you know, the little cluster in the club community and the social side. I got to learn a lot about my community coming here and coming to this show and listening to some of these segments. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, if I hadn't come to this show, I would probably still be struggling with, you know, my sexuality. But the more I came, the more comfortable I became with who I was and what I am, you know. And if I can do my part to educate my community, then I'll be here every week, no matter what, you know.
You know, we have proof positive when phones ring for other reasons that somebody's out there listening.
Yeah.
So pick up that phone and let us know we matter.
It's 713-526-5738, 713-JAM-KPFT.
What did they say KPFT meant once before? I'm sorry.
Keep playing fag tunes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Somebody has too much time on their hands.
Way too much.
Let's go back to some more stories.
Was that you that had too much time on your hands?
That's so sentimental. I come here
because I rather have too much Tim on my hands.
I thought that was last week.
I was about to say, that's not time he's got all over his hands. Anyhow.
But
moving on.
No, if it's something from the kitchen, it looks more like bechamel.
Maybe it was rosemary.
All right, keeping up with the pervert and youth. Gee, I don't know why I'm covering these stories.
I do. I do. Doesn't involve me, though.
I'm going back to Greece. From MSNBC. The play, not the country.
So,
An unusual legal case arising from a
increasingly popular practice known as sexting. Six Pennsylvania high school students are facing child pornography charges after three teenage girls apparently took nude or semi-nude pictures of themselves and shared them with male classmates via their cell phones. The female students at Greensburg-Salem High School, all 14 or 15 years old, face charges of manufacturing, disseminating, or possessing child pornography, while the boys who are 16 and 17 face charges of possession of pornography. Police told the news station that the photos were discovered in October after a school official seized a cell phone from a male student who was using it in violation of school rules and found a nude photo of a classmate on it. The police were called in, and the investigation led them to other phones containing more photos. Police captain quoted saying the first photograph was a self-portrait taken of a juvenile female taking pictures of her body nude. School district issued a statement saying the investigation showed no evidence of inappropriate activity on school grounds other than the violation of electronic devices policy.
Unless he had it as his background, they technically went through his phone, which when they collect the phones for them using it in class, they have no right to go through them.
Well,
unless it was on the screen, he was viewing it when the, you know.
Yes, unless it could be seen, evidently right then, you know, can't remember what it's called. If a cop can see the drug sitting in your car.
In plain sight.
Yeah.
In plain sight.
But the thing is yeah. that a lot of the time, when you're on a school campus, you're at the mercy of school policy.
You yield all rights.
You pretty much yield all rights once you step onto that campus.
Yeah. Even before George Bush shredded the Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights was not applicable on school grounds.
Yes.
Right.
Hey, maybe if we're lucky, they'll glue it back together now.
The thing...
I think they're looking for the double-sided scotch
tape. The thing I have to ask his kids is, what the hell are you thinking? You're putting your picture on a cell phone, and you're sending it to some guy. So what makes you think he's not going to go and send it to one of his friends? And then it's going to get around.
To one of his friends.
If you don't believe that those type of photos are going to get around, even if you really know the guy and you think he's really trustworthy, send an email message to Melissa Hudgens from High School Musical and find out what happened to the topless picture she sent to Zac Efron.
Oops.
Oh. I'm sorry, they weren't naked. They were fully nude photos that she sent to Zac Efron that appeared everywhere.
Oops.
Yep.
I say, girls, if you're going to send pictures of your goodies, you know, make sure you get a picture back so that you can use that as blackmail and show off. You know, for a 16-year-old, he's hung like a 6-year-old.
I'm still trying to wrap my mind around the legal part of someone underage taking pictures of themselves being arrested for child pornography when they're the child. That just doesn't...
It's going to be hard to stick, but technically they're still doing it. They're still manufacturing the pornography. It doesn't really matter what age they are.
The fact that they are the ones doing it is...
Yes. You see, the thing is just that...
I wonder if that...
Well, I think... That is a rather interesting legal point.
The way you have to look at it is this. You know, if they're 13 and 14 or 14 and 15-year-old girls, 14 and 15-year-old girls, technically, under the law, they can't consent to even having normal pictures taken of themselves.
Right.
You can't, because so under the age...
Then their parents need to be arrested.
Because of their age, they can't legally enter into a legal contract to have photos taken.
But they took them of themselves.
True, but
mommy and daddy didn't know what they were doing in the bathroom.
Hold on, let's see here. Pennsylvania law... Pennsylvania law's age of consent is 16, at least as this was last updated. So if it's a 14 or 15-year-old girl, she can't even consent to sex, let alone a binding contract.
So if she has sex, she needs to be arrested for statutory rape?
She could, you know, there's all these legal things you have to look at with it, is that
yes.
with their age, you can't consent to any of that stuff. If she would have been having sex, it was legal. She took a picture of it. because of the way the laws are written on child pornography, any photo, well, first of all, pornography is in the eyes of community standards.
Absolutely. Just a nude picture does not really, that's not.
But it's up to a jury to decide.
That's not porn, particularly.
Well, but if it's meant to titillate or excite,
then it is child pornography.
Then it's considered obscene, which is considered pornography. And if the actor in it is younger, is either under the age of 18 or appears to be under the age of 18,
right,
or is a computer generated graphic of someone that appears to be under 18,
yeah,
it can be a violation of the law.
Yep.
Now, all of this is going to be really strange to go under because the internet pornography law that was put into place back in the 90s has just been thrown out of court. The Supreme Court has been... This keeps coming up, from what I read in the story, several times before the court. And the last time it was before the Supreme Court, they said, the prosecution needs to give us more of a reason to to say, hey, this barring should be allowed. And the prosecution saying, hey, you really should allow us to do this. And I'm trying to pull up the website here.
Well, my thinking is that there are nudist magazines with people of all ages in them, and that's okay.
Well, you have to argue the fact that it's not titillating. It's not exciting.
Okay, if a girl, this 14-year-old girl, takes a nude picture of herself just standing there,
but
what's to say that's titillating?
But she's standing there, why else is a 14-year-old girl taking a picture or saying it to a 16-year-old boy?
Exactly.
It's
not an art project.
You don't know that.
Exactly. I was going to say...
If it's an art project, then you're either doing it for sketching, or you're going to take it with a real camera to be developed in a photography class rather than snapping it on your cell phone.
Yeah. Well,
it's a nice argument, but here's the story on Supreme Court deals death blow to anti-porn law. The U.S. Department of Justice has been trying since 1998 to convince courts that a federal anti-porn law targeting sexually explicit websites was constitutional. No longer on Wednesday, the U.S. Supreme Court rejected prosecutors' last-ditch defense of the Child Online Protection Act, meaning the law will not be enforced. COPPA was enacted during the anti-internet porn scares of the late 90s as part of a narrower answer to previous net censorship law that also met its demise in the courts. Any commercial website operator that posts material that is harmful to minors faces 6 months in prison and a fine up to $50,000. The ACLU filed suit against the law in Philadelphia, saying the prohibition was so broad and vague that even traditional publishers could face fines and imprisonment. Plaintiffs include Salon.com, which occasionally publishes racy material. The California-based lesbian and gay A Different Light bookstore, Planet Out, and the now-defunct Coalition also filed suit in that. So, internet porn's a little bit easier to get to now, mm-hmm. but you still have this argument of, like I said, the big problem is using the term pornography.
Yeah.
Because there's no...
If somebody's just standing there, that doesn't seem like porn to me. If they're masturbating, then okay.
But the legal definition of porn is, I know it when I see it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I realize that.
The thing, too, is you have to look at each... state, each local municipality has its own definition of what is obscene because the standards vary from region to region.
Yeah, and it's based off the community. So,
community standards.
If you put a child pornography case on here in Houston and start claiming, these are artistic pictures, and it's artistic because, the model is not staring at the camera licking her lips. She's staring off into a floral arrangement on the side. That's how we know it's art. You may get them to buy that here in Houston, but may not be able to get them to buy that in El Paso.
Okay.
What about
here's the thing that gets me. Before the age of the internet, when somebody took pictures, you had the pictures, and you had the negatives. And if you did, and the only way that those pictures were going to get around was if they were passed from person to person, or somebody got hold of the negatives and decided to make their own copies. We now live in the age of the internet, where if you do something stupid, like putting your happy naked self out there, and don't expect that they may someday end up in a place or on in front of somebody who you don't want seeing them, well, tough noogies. Because guess what? You put yourself out there. And I'm sorry, and whether they are 14 and arguably not smart enough to figure that one out, or 45 and should be smart enough to figure that one out, you just, if you don't expect them to, if you don't want it out there, if you don't expect it to end up in some place, don't put yourself out there.
Can I testify to this fact?
Well, I get your point there, but I don't think that's part of this. I don't think those girls cared where those pictures went. No.
Let me testify here for a second to what he said there. When I was first trying to find people online, I had sent some pictures out to somebody. And I got an email from a friend saying that he saw pictures of me that I had sent him on this one website. And I just started seeing someone, and I'm going, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. I was freaking out. So I sent an email to the person who posted the pictures to that website. And I said, I don't know where you got my pictures from. I want them taken down immediately.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't appreciate this. I'm going to report it. He says, okay, I'm sorry. Look, I found that picture on this other website.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
And just tell me which one it is of you, and I'll remove it. I'm going, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. And the guy I was seeing was laughing at me going, you know, you should have realized this was going to happen. And I was freaking out for probably about a good 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that calmed me down was the fact that I took a little bitter look at the picture and realized that on both of those websites, it had a little thing next to it where you rated the photograph. And I looked at it and I go, I got a solid B here and I got a B plus over on this
So,
so you shut up and left them there, huh?
I shut up and left them on there.
Computers, you know, they don't make it. They don't make it so that you can't steal a photo from someplace and put it someplace else where the person whose photo it is.
Oh, it's easy enough to steal them.
It's easy enough. I mean, I don't do anything on computers, and I know for a fact that this can be done.
I've got a folder on my computer at home that's called Stolen from Craigslist.
I mean, and it's going to end up someplace it doesn't need to be.
Oh, the hell with that.
And this is why.
I got a computer where they actually just sent it all to me from Craigslist.
Yeah. Ooh.
Okay, Mike.
And this is why there has never been a naked picture of me online. Ever.
We're working on it.
You can keep trying, but it's not going to get there.
So
there hasn't been one. I'm 22. You would think, hey, he's young, he's stupid, he'll put naked pictures. No.
He's young, he's stupid.
You don't seem to understand this, Mikey. You're young and stupid and show up here and sometimes semi conscious. We've got cameras.
Yeah. Talk about that webcam that I have over there.
But I trust you people.
Wow, he's gullible.
You silly boy.
But as far as the what counts as porn thing, going a little bit back to that, how many people have gotten off to like a Sears catalog or underwear mail you wear?
International mail.
International mail.
Oh.
Yeah.
When
okay.
I was a teenager,
so
all we had was the Sears catalog.
So can't that be considered porn because it's enticing?
When you were a little kid, weren't those drawings instead of photos?
But it comes down to what the intent was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Sears catalog, was that on a stone tablet?
No, it was not on a stone tablet.
No, but the pictures were actually illustrations and not actual photographs.
Yeah, the Sears catalog, you know, the picture of the guy in his underwear was not because, you know, you wanted. They were trying to sell the bulge, they were trying to sell the underwear.
Actually, there was a Sears catalog where there was a kind of a the artist made a mistake, and there was this kind of appendage hanging out of the bottom of the boxers.
Oh, that's one hell
Sears
of a mistake.
And you identified it real quickly,
Sears
didn't you?
Sears had to recall the catalogs.
Oops.
Do you still have it, Jimmy?
No. But I have the picture.
Oh,
well, you would.
This is me not being surprised.
Okay.
I'm going to die of not surprise.
Okay. Yeah.
Here comes a little, one of the inaugural balls you didn't hear about that was going to happen that was canceled.
And Obama got...
A Washington, D.C. inaugural week event originally described as, quote, pig sex, unquote, homosexual orgy,
what?
Has been canceled after concerned citizens complained to the DoubleTree Hotel hosting the event.
Darn.
That makes me sad.
According to the organization spearheading the opposition. A big thanks to each of you who called the DoubleTree and its parent company, Hilton Hotels, said Peter Labaria, president of the Americans for Truth About Homosexuality.
Oh, God.
Urging them not to allow this unbelievably depraved and unhealthy homosexual event to occur in a public conference rooms.
What was it?
What's unhealthy about
Labaria continued. We learned that thousands of concerned Americans called to complain in response to our reporting and follow-ups by WorldNetDaily.com, Liberty Council's Matt Barber, and other conservative websites. As they reported, Labaria obtained information about the planned event via email from a source within the homosexual community. The original email advertised a pig sex orgy.
What?
Said, quote, we now got a killer lineup of demos and included super skilled rope bondage, sounds play, and flogging.
Uh-huh.
Live music. And sound is going to be provided by the Black Party DJ Rich King. So you can S blank 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 fist. Can I say rim?
You can say rim.
Rim. And FCC to the beat. Now, this is from WorldNet Daily, which is a conservative Christian website. I continue with your article. The online Urban Dictionary defines pig sex as outrageously dirty, such as water sports, defecation, male-on-male bondage, group sex, and bestiality. Although there was no indication that the DC event would involve animals.
Okay, sounds like a normal Friday night at my house.
Yeah.
While hotel managers repeatedly denied any such event was being planned, a reporter for the homosexual publication Washington Blade confirmed in his report plans for a, quote, leather S&M party at the hotel this weekend. La Barbera said the hotel originally confirmed to him that the Mid-Atlantic Leather Maneuvers had booked 3 second-floor conference rooms for 3 days, starting with Saturday night's events and culminating on Inauguration Day Tuesday. Following public outcry over the event, however, lesbian blogger Pam Spalding published today an announcement. As many of you know, extreme Christian groups have been pressuring DoubleTree to cancel the Obama inauguration pig sex orgy. For 2 days, the hotel stood firm while the accusations and falsehoods kept coming in. Just this morning, I told the management of DoubleTree how impressed I was that they resisted the calls to shut us down. Unfortunately, the matter escalated to DoubleTree Corporate, and the word has come down that they will not allow our event to go on as planned. To say that I am pissed would be an understatement. We have a right to privacy and sexual freedom, and I appreciate the efforts of the Senators, a D.C. homosexual sadistic sex group, in helping us set up this and fight the cancellation. I want to apologize to each of you who have been with me for 9 years for having to disappoint you in the 11th hour.
Mm.
As the World News Daily reported, news of the event led some concerned citizens to object, some to pray, and some take action.
Oh, brother.
Good God.
It's simply inexcusable for the DoubleTree would place at risk the health of its staff and future guests by facilitating this orgy in rooms where food is served.
What?
Apparently, from what they're saying, is that this event was going to give new meaning to the term ballroom.
I want to go dancing.
That instead of
being, hello.
That instead of being held in private rooms or in the larger suites, they were going to have demonstrations and... the pig sex orgies in the ballrooms.
Okay.
Well, see, but all the demonstrations are not going to be the things that...
Of course not.
...they're worried about. All of the demonstrations are going to be all of your bondage, all of your whipping, flogging.
Yeah.
Well, there was one picture that they showed where there was a whole line of, what are they called?
It wasn't a conga line, was it?
Constructed toilet seats.
Okay, yeah. Just for the record...
Yeah, that's so yeah. Now, images of devices that were made available at a Washington party for homosexuals. First of all, the party never occurred. Second of all, how do they?
I think that's for rimming.
That could be.
That's for several different things.
That could be for rimming. It could be for defecation. And there's a whole row of slings. Yeah. But, talks about this being, he's captioned by images of devices that were made available at a Washington party for homosexuals.
Oh, way too easy.
What it is, certain words in... with certain websites have certain words that trigger
hyperlinks.
Right.
And in this images of devices that were made available for a Washington party for homosexuals, the word party has a hyperlink to it. And when you go on to it, it talks about Domino subs, sandwiches.
Sandwiches.
Big old long things filled with meat.
That's
and they're hot and they're steaming. And they're all
and I want it in my mouth.
And they're all for $4.99 each.
Yeah.
Okay.
The cheapest date I'll ever have.
I do have to ask. I assume that an event like this would be something one is required to have tickets to go to.
Yes, it's very private.
And thusly, you just can't walk your happy butt in the door and expect to get in.
The New York just came out and you
there.
Yes, it did.
In an event like that, there is going to be some level of security of this, because it is in a public place. So yes, people can wander in to those areas, but you're going to have people stationed.
If you're smart, there's going to be good security that doesn't let a lot of that. The happy wanderers walk into this. That makes this a private event. Again, closed doors. I refer back to my usual argument on this subject of if they're not doing it in the middle of the street
or on your front lawn I've done that
for
before.
Crying out loud.
Again, not a surprise.
If it's behind closed doors. Kiss my queer backside.
Okay, now let me explain this way with this. As someone who has been a host or promoter of large events at hotels like this, the hotel, and this also comes from the fact of not just from the hotel, but in like Texas here, partially comes from the Texas Alcohol Bureau.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain places that are called public spaces and certain places called private spaces.
Yes. Absolutely.
And you have to change designations on how you do certain things in those areas.
Yeah.
And so in something like here in Texas, something like using a ballroom like that, which is considered a public space, you can't have that kind of sexual activity because, same thing of why you can't have alcohol served at a totally
On a much less sexual level. I mean, I am a person who has attended lots of science fiction conventions.
Yeah.
And they make and there are rules at those conventions about where you can go, what you can do in certain spaces, and what you cannot. And at most of the conventions I've gone to, there's not a whole lot of completely naked people running the hallway. Some are pretty damn close, but I mean, I vividly remember people getting sent back to their room because they were wearing a whole lot less than they should have in a hallway. But security saw them and back they go.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's something that there's a little bit of personal responsibility you have to come with that.
Yeah.
And like I said, I can't go into much more detail over the air because I want to invoke my Fifth Amendment rights.
It's that time.
And plus, we are coming up here to the end of the hour. Your last chance, call in 713-526-5738, 713-JAM-KPFT to call in your pledge of support. Join Sally, join Paul, join whomever called last week, I forget. with your pledge of support, 713-526-5738, 713-JAM-KPFT. Go to kpft.org as well, or instead of, and make your pledge of support. Hey, they already got your credit card number in there when you signed up for spankmyass.com.
Once again, thanks to everybody that has donated so far.
Absolutely.
Help keep us on the air, guys. We enjoy coming to you every week.
Yeah, we'll be back next week. Still asking for more.
Oh. And we'll be doing lots of music to...
Unless they make their goal, I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah. Lots of music next
week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Blessed be.
Everybody, have a great night. Have a safe weekend. And have a wonderful week.
And so I think I'm going to put one of our little PSAs to get in while we're waiting. Coming at the top of the hour, it's Zydeco Pasale.
Yeah.
Woohoo!
After hours, here's a couple of things to put you in the donation mood. And we'll be back next week. KPFT Houston.
Oh, this. Well, his daddy was an honest man. Red dirt Georgia farm. His mama lived a short life. Having kids, baling hay. He had 15.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.